session of the Senate of the Associated Students on Wednesday, April 24th, 2019 at 5:31 p.m. in the Rita Layden Senate Chambers on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. Moving into the second order of business, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moving into the second item of business, roll call.
Speaker Hughes.
Present.
Senator Ahmed.
Present.
Senator Ompier.
Present.
Senator Banford.
Present.
Senator Collins.
Absence excused.
Senator D. Hall.
Present.
Senator Davenport.
Present.
Senator Donahue.
Absence unexcused.
Senator Doyle.
Present.
Senator Harvey.
Present.
Senator J. Hall.
Present.
Senator Komenduri.
Present.
Senator Melkor.
Present.
Senator Murphy.
Present.
Senator Prempe.
Present.
Senator Rogers.
Present.
Senator Romero. Senator Supple.
Present.
Senator Beltre.
Present.
Senator Watt.
Present.
Senator Westerman.
Present.
And Senator Yang.
Present.
A quorum is present.
And actually, Senator Donahue is absent excused. Sorry about that. All right, do we have minutes? Okay, moving into agenda item 5, public comment. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes. Is there any public comment?
No. This week I sent a letter to Sagebrush, but Madeline told me that she briefed and then decided whether it was a print or not. It's not in the paper, so I slipped it so it wasn't in control of your editor. As an alumnus, I am concerned about the apparently hypocritical part that diversity on this and other campuses play in. When whites do better than blacks on intelligence tests, the liberals are quick to tell us that the tests are culturally biased in favor of white and demand affirmative action. But when blacks are better than whites in sports, we hear nothing about how football and basketball are culturally biased in favor of blacks. Apparently, non-diversity is bad only when it's in favor of whites. When it's in favor of blacks, it's just fine. This raises a question. I believe that I believe that liberals are driven by guilt and self-hatred because it's the only explanation I can see for the way they not only have these double standards, they always set them up so that their own race or country gets the dirty end. If any liberals disagree, what's their explanation for this phenomenon? Sorry, I've had a problem reading my own writing, but this is a matter I think should be brought up. Last year, I asked Precious about if they're doing anything about the non-diversity of the sports team. She said that you don't deal with sports. But this is a matter I think you should deal with, and I would suggest you contact President Johnson. Ask him if the administration is doing anything about this racial imbalance to correct it, and if not, why not?
All right, any further public comment? Go ahead.
Alright. Hi, Senators. My name is Kevin. I am a student for the College of Liberal Arts. I'm here to talk to you about the recent article in the Sagebrush about PAC transit. So if you guys haven't read that yet, so basically the university announced that they're increasing permit fees by 3% as well as limiting the times that PAC transit is operating. I'm asking you as a concerned student to write a resolution or ask the administration to come in and explain this to us so you guys can report back to us, because I'm a little confused on why the increase is happening. In the article, per the email, it said that in inflation happening right now, this is the reason why they're increasing permit prices. But as a lot of students, we're working minimum wage jobs, and the minimum wage hasn't been increased in over 10 years, so we're not getting increased pay to pay these increasing permit fees. As well, my main concern is I'm a resident of the union apartments up there on the east side of campus. They're limiting the hours on that from 8 o'clock to 4:30 now, so it's disenfranchising students that take a 7:30 a.m. class, as well as nightly classes, who then will have to walk in the dark or in the bitter cold in the mornings beginning next semester. So I'm asking you as a concerned student to either write a resolution or have them come in and explain why, because I think this is completely unfair without student talk, especially the time limiting increases for students.
Dr. Beatty?
Hello, Senators.
Welcome to your second meeting. A few of you have approached me as members from a political party have contacted you to meet and discuss things. Remember, as senators, when it comes to national politics, you're nonpartisan. You're on issues based that impact students on campus. So what will happen, especially next year when primaries and things are coming up, is individuals will probably contact you to see if you can utilize your position as a senator to provide them a platform to meet students on campus. As senators, that's not your role. So please come by and see me. If you get emails, let's talk on the best ways to respond to that. We have the Department of Legislative Affairs. Often they will bring candidates from all parties or invite candidates from all parties, but we need to remain, as officers, you need to remain nonpartisan in U.S. politics as far as whether it's Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green, whatever. Thanks.
Awesome. Any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 6, receipt of petitions and correspondence to the Senate and referral. 6A, resignation of Andrea Godoy, Senate Secretary. I can read it. I don't know if I can.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
I can read it if you want.
Speaker Hughes, unfortunately, I must resign from my position as Secretary of the Senate due to my upcoming graduation in May and conflicts I face with my student teaching. My last official day will be in May, actually May 30th, so that I may continue working with the next Secretary of the Senate for a more seamless transition. I am grateful that I stumbled upon some silly committee secretary job listing forever ago in October of 2014. This position has enriched my life personally and professionally, and having worked with 5 different speakers of the Senate and several different senators from the 82nd to 86th sessions has given me patience, taught me a lot about my leadership styles, and most importantly, given me the opportunity to grow as a person. Throughout my time here, I've complained about each and every of my senators, but I loved working with them all, although some more than others. My tenure in ASUN has resulted in some of my best memories and given me some of my best friends. Even though I will miss ASUN, the Center for Student Engagement, and the university, I believe with absolute certainty that I will not miss typing up minutes for 3-hour Senate meetings or receiving emails about outreach hours that were done but not documented. To President Martinez, thank you for all that you did for me. I would not have survived the 86th session with my sanity if it hadn't been for you. Your patience and understanding was my saving grace when I was ready to rip my hair out because senators complained, and yet they asked no questions. Vice President Flangus, your candor at the table has made long Senate meetings enjoyable. I never quite got good enough to type at Flangus speed, but I promise I'll keep practicing. Speaker Hughes, I'm so proud of you. You've come a long way since we started in the 86th session, and I'm so excited to see you continue your journey in ASUN. It's a shame I'm graduating and that we would have made a great team, but I'm not sorry enough to stay. Thank you for taking time to meet with me, letting me vent about certain committee chairs, you know who, and most importantly, being my friend. Finally, Dr. Beatty, you are truly an unsung hero in ASUN and CSC. Your advice to me has been so good that I often find myself thinking, WWJD, what would James do? When I'm dealing with difficult students, every time you called, texted, emailed, or stopped by the office looking for me, I had a small heart attack thinking I was being fired. Now, I hope you call me and keep me updated. Thank you for working so hard to help me change the culture surrounding the secretaries. Good luck to ASUN, and especially to Senate. You have always been my favorite branch of government. May you continue to change the university for the better. Thank you. Enjoy the way.
Andrea has genuinely been seen as a backbone for Senate and honestly ASUN as a whole. So if you see her around, talk to her. She's truly amazing and an unsung hero. So all right, that was sad. Okay, moving into agenda item 6B, resignation of Victoria Yagyayan, Senator-elect for the College of Liberal Arts. States, hello everyone. I regret to inform you of my resignation as an ASUN Senator of the 87th session. I was honored to have been elected, but I realized that I was not taking care of myself mentally, leaving me unable to perform my duties of Senate to my fullest potential, which also hindered my academic performance. Senate and every other position in ASUN requires 110%, which I am no longer able to give. I encourage you all to reach out to me and keep in touch for anything you may need and to hear about your amazing accomplishments. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to seeing what great things you all do. Love you all, Victoria Guyan. All right, moving into agenda item 7, reports of ASUN officers. If you are here and you have a report to give, you may give it, but please keep it brief. President of the Associated Students, Jennifer Martinez. No report. Vice President of the Associated Students, Nicole Flangus.
Okay, so just a reminder, there's a strategic planning workshop on Wednesday, May 1st from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'll send out an email about it. And also, I am meeting with Mary T. on Tuesday. So if there's anything specific you guys want to see with what we do with orientation, shoot me an email. I'm meeting with her on Tuesday at 1:30.
Are there any questions? All right. Chief of Staff? No? Okay. Moving into agenda item 8, report of Senate committees. Chair for the Committee on Academics, Senator Hardy. And when you're listing these, please just say the date and time of your meeting and then any other updates that you have.
No report for the committee at this time. Our meetings will be on Fridays for the remainder of this semester. This Friday, it will be at 4:15 in the President's Conference Room, and then for the rest of the semester, it will be at 4:00 in the President's Conference Room.
Are there any questions? All right, Chair for Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Pepe.
No report at this time. For the rest of the semester, we'll be meeting on Mondays at 11 a.m. in the President's Conference Room.
Chair for Committee on Civic Engagement, Senator Doyle.
We will be meeting on Fridays at 9 a.m. until the end of the semester, and no report at this time.
Chair for Committee on Government Operations, Senator Supple.
I have no report at this time, but this Friday at 8 a.m. we're meeting with 4-6 and then massage on for the next 2 weeks. On Thursdays, we're meeting 3-4 and then 4-6.
Chair for Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Westerman.
This Friday at 1:30, we're meeting in the President's Conference Room. After this Friday, all breakfast will be at 2 o'clock in the President's Conference Room. And even though we're assigning legislation to write based on the legislative priorities, I just want to clarify that apparently this is a decision. You don't have to be in the Committee on Public Affairs to lobby. You can lobby for any piece of legislation that's been written in the House.
Chair for Committee on State, Chair for Committee on University Affairs, Senator Rogers.
Our first meeting is on Friday from 10:30 to 11:30. It just got changed to be in the Senate chambers, so that's great. And then every other Friday, it will be from 10:30 to 11:30 in the President's Conference Room.
Speaker Pro Tem 4, Senator Murphy.
No report at this time.
All right. Chair for Committee on Oversight, Speaker Hughes. I just had a few more things to touch on that I might have forgotten to mention at Oversight. If you are sending in legislation, please be sure to send it to the Secretary as well in a Word document form. So, like, just when you're sending me the memo in legislation, CC or add the Senate Secretary. When you're posting agendas for all of the chairs, please be sure to add a Word document onto the Nevada box so that the secretaries can take minutes on that. And then oversight is at 8 a.m. on Monday in the PCR. Also, if you are sending in any legislation, please get it to me tomorrow by 2 p.m. And if you think that I'm going to need to review it, please try to get it to me a little bit earlier so that I can review it prior to agendizing it. And then all of you have probably seen the Excel file that's been sent out by Secretary Godoy in reference to outreach hours. So just please, like, start filling those out with any outreach interactions that you have. It's pretty self-explanatory, just including what you did and the times that you were doing it. And then those will be tallied up to equal the 4 outreach interactions that you need over a 2-week period. If you have questions, please feel free to reach out to Secretary Godoy or myself. We'll be pretty lenient with the first one, but then after that, they will be, like, more strict. But I understand that there hasn't been a lot of communication regarding them, but that is it. Are there any questions? All right. We'll now move into agenda item 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments or announcements at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 11, approval of appointments of senators and ASUN officials. So just to give some background knowledge for those of you who haven't been in Senate in the past, basically the executive board, like the president and vice president, send out receive applications for people who are interested in these positions, and then they conduct interviews, determine which one they believe is the most qualified individual for the position, and then it is Senate's job to basically hear from them and kind of act as a checks and balance to ensure that they are qualified for the position at hand. So with that said, we will be seeing four nominees today. And as I stated in the email, I strongly encourage all of you to reference their portfolios, which are in the Nevada box, or I sent them to you personally, as well as the staff. So when we're doing this, like I said, please just have it pulled up on your laptop. But if you're taking notes, I strongly encourage you to opt to just like writing them down with a pen and pencil so that you're not typing on your laptop as much, because it can be distracting for the nominees who are presenting. So with that said, I am now speaking. Oh, are there any questions about that? Does everybody understand that? Okay, cool. So with that said, I'm now seeking a motion to approve the nomination of Davis Florence to the office of Director of the Department of Clubs and Organizations. Senator Supple.
I move to approve the appointment of Davis Florence to the office of Director of the Department of Clubs and Organizations.
Is there a second? Senator Prempeh?
Second.
All right, with that said, we will now move into a discussion. Actually, prior to like having an introduction from them, I just wanted to try something new that we haven't done in the past. So I'm actually going to ask the nominee to step out of the room while we have a brief discussion regarding what we want to see from this nominee, and kind of like compile some questions from the general body prior to actually hearing the presentation. So you're more than welcome to stay if you would like to, but we do ask that you leave the room. All right. So once again, this is for the nomination of Davis Florence to the Director of the Departments of Clubs and Organizations. So are there any questions that the body would like to ask or anything that they would like to see from the nominee prior to being there? Yes, Senator Harvey.
Are we able to ask questions or ask them to go more in depth on questions that were already reviewed and oversight?
Yeah, definitely. I would just give a little bit of background information when you're asking that question so that the rest of the Senate body and then the minutes are clear on what you're asking.
Okay.
Any questions, like anything that you would want to know pertaining to the staff or their portfolio, which you should have already reviewed? Senator D. Hall.
I feel like on his portfolio that he mentions the budget, but I would like to know why the clubs got 60% budget cut this last year.
Any further questions? Senator Murphy.
Building off of what Senator D. Hall said, how he would plan to allocate funds if something like that happened again.
Any further? Senator Westerman?
Just some questions that I asked yesterday in oversight.
I think that that's a great basis. Oh, do you have something else?
Yeah,
Senator Harvey.
What qualities will he be looking for when nominating the commissioners?
Those are all really great questions. So I strongly encourage you to ask them if they're not answered in his presentation. Obviously, if he touches on them in his presentation, that's awesome. But we will now go into a presentation.
For the position of the Director of Clubs and Organizations. Davis has demonstrated not only a well-rounded understanding of the department, the different positions and the club cultures, the value and structure of the internship program, but also that of the budget and how to address the responsible and fair expenditure of one of our largest accounts in ASUN. Furthermore, what made him stand out most was his understanding of what it means to act as a public servant in the context of clubs and organizations. I am extremely proud of the commitment and his emphasis on creating a culture where commissioners are reaching out and engaging with their clubs, bridging the gap between the students and the association, a goal that we should all be constantly vigilant about. And I further want to speak to his goals, which will create lasting infrastructure that will build upon the department's ability to serve and work with students in the future, including the web campus module, a pilot Nevada Fit Club Fair, the director focus groups, and those are just to name a few. We are extremely confident in how he will direct the department and look to him in accomplishing these goals in both a timely and effective way. So without further ado, we have Davis.
All right. Good afternoon, Senators. Congratulations on all your new positions. I'm very excited to see what you all accomplish in this next year. I'd just like to start by introducing myself. My name is Davis Florence. I am finishing my third year here studying community health science and psychology. So one of the main things that's truly defined my time here on campus has been involving myself in the different areas. Not only have these made me really enjoy my time in college, but it's really made me a more well-rounded public servant. Some of these things include working admissions and records, which has given me the opportunity to work with thousands of students across my 2 years there in fields such as admissions, graduation, working commencement, working orientations, and whatnot. And then another field is with the health science advisors and faculty. As a health science ambassador, I've gotten to work close with them, go to a lot of their events, serving students at Nevada Bounds, orientations, going to several high school career fairs, has been great for advisement and recruitment, which is great for serving students. And then most recently has been being involved with the Department of Clubs and Organizations as the assistant director. So for the last semester, I have been serving them as like a liaison between our department and them, scheduling, like coordinating our meetings, our funding hearings, working with our interns, running that program. I think I did a great job of really creating more well-rounded, professional, competent interns, and I hope that they all accomplish great things. And then also maintaining the club support funding budget, making sure that we allocate in the right areas and stuff along those lines. So as director, I plan to have an ambitious year, and my main focus is going to be on customer service. So with the increasing amount of clubs that we have every year, it's very important that we are being mindful of the new amount of students that we have, and I think it places large responsibility on our department to reach out to these students and make them feel welcome. I think the Department of Clubs and Organizations has a wide reach in communicating with the campus, and it's important that our department goes and does outreach, much like senators. It is required for outreach. I think commissioners should be required to be going to events, going to club meetings, so that they can learn and meet with club leaders and really build rapport between the two groups. Another way that I want to do this, we'll work on customer service, is director focus groups. So I think being able to have a forum where club leaders or members can come and speak with myself, if I was appointed director, to discuss issues they may have with our policy. It can be a very hot topic in some cases, and I think that information is very valuable when we try to make our policy changes. So that's something I think needs to be brought back so that we get valuable feedback that we may not get at all if we're not reaching out the way that we should be. Another main focus is I want to work on the transition of leadership between years. So with the changing renewal process, sometimes it gets difficult for clubs to transition between leadership between years. Usually club leaders are seniors or upperclassmen who are leaving. So if they graduate, it can leave some clubs without any knowledge of our department or the procedures that they have to go through to get funding, to even be recognized as a club so that they can be on campus. So it's important that we implement renewal workshops and places that we can educate them on our procedures so that they're ready to start using our services as soon as possible. So that's something we'd be looking for in the spring semester when renewal starts. And then one of the main goals of No Walls 2025 is to create more well-rounded students. And one of the aspects of this is that they become more engaged. So involvement in clubs and organizations increases involvement on campus, and therefore they become more engaged. And because of this, I would like to start a Nevada Fit Club Fair. And I want to be part of the official schedule. So it's something that all students, and in the next couple of years, all incoming freshmen will be there. I think this is a great opportunity for them to meet with clubs the week before school starts, where they can be there, don't have any conflicts before school kicks up. And I think it really goes with the goals of Nevada Fit. Nevada Fit's main goals are to increase academic performance and retention. And I think The main goal of clubs and organizations is to serve students in clubs and organizations, and one of the great benefits of clubs and organizations is increasing their involvement, which in turn increases academic performance and retention. So that is why I think this is a great idea. I have many others on my portfolio, so if you have any questions, I'd love to answer that for you. Thank you.
Awesome. We will now open it up to questions from the body. Starting, Senator Westerman.
You said that your biggest goal is customer service and that you want to have to hold club commissioners responsible for going to their club's events and having this outreach and forming that connection with those clubs and organizations. How would you hold club commissioners accountable for doing so?
So right now there's no real other than being able to dismiss employees, but it's something that I would like to add to a policy or even the SAS is to require these outreach hours. I believe that part of their job, much like centers, should be communicating with the students, and they have a great opportunity to meet with people who are deeply ingrained in the campus. A lot of club leaders have reached across their own clubs, across their colleges, so if I can have outreach put into the job duties and require it for my commissioners, it's something I think would increase that. But it's also something I'll be looking for in the hiring process. So I'm going to be looking for individuals who are passionate about serving others. I think that should be the main reason they're looking for these jobs, is to serve the students. And just going over funding applications and going to our weekly meetings to approve or not approve funds isn't what that should be. It should be going to these clubs and meeting the leaders, meeting the people in the clubs, and really trying to educate them on what we do and really bridge that gap of that's between the campus and ASU.
Senator Doyle.
So in the SAS on Chapter 202, Section 3, Line 8, it states the mentor educates the department of clubs and organizations. Interns, as a previous assistant director, what are you looking for in the future assistant director, as well as the internship as a whole?
So I think the internship is a very powerful tool, not only for our department, but for the entire association as a whole. A lot of the things that I wanted to teach them was about being a commissioner, so that way there's a more seamless transition if they are to be hired. But I think it's important for the internship program to create more professional and competent leaders. So I think it's great to start off with learning more about the department. So I want my assistant director to make sure that they're being educated on all different aspects, because they may not truly be for clubs and organizations. They may love Senate. So I think it's good for them to reach out and meet with officers and people in the other departments just to build that knowledge of what we do, but also building professionalism. So a lot of them do come in as freshmen, and sometimes professionalism can be a sketchy topic for them. So going over, like, using the career studio or using a lot of officers, because a lot of the officers have great professional skills. A lot of the staff we have are great at teaching that. So I think having workshops that teach about resumes, interviewing, how to contact faculty and staff, that's a big thing we do, and contacting other club leaders. It's very important to be professional in that. So I think one of the most important things is just an emailing etiquette class. That's something I did, and I think my interns really did enjoy that, and I think it taught them really what they should be looking for, because sometimes they may send an email without looking at it, and you send that to an associate vice president, that could be a serious issue. So I want that to happen most likely in the beginning, first half of the year, and then usually second semester you kind of get a more or a better idea of what the interns are looking for, so then you can tailor it towards them. But that's when I would implement more like Robert Rules training, because that's very important, our meetings, and then doing a mock funding hearing. So that's how we ended our internship this year. The last meeting was a mock funding hearing, and the interns got to practice reviewing applications and then got to practice actually using Robert's Rules in a mock meeting and going through and approving or not approving funds. So that's a very general way I'd want the assistant director to do it, but I think I have a lot of great ideas for them.
Senator Harvey.
Okay, so you kind of touched a little bit on my question, but the second part of my question would be, when it comes to your second goal, personnel development, can you talk a little bit about your first point about retreat?
So it's something I don't believe has been done. It wasn't done last year, but I want the department to have a retreat at some point before we start the fall semester. I think this would be a good time to, as a group, get together and discuss plans for the events we have, the club fairs, I lead, and hopefully our emerging leader conference. It'll be a good time for them to plan that, but also have their own goals. So this year, well, today, one of the Commissioner Young had an art fair, and I think that's something that all club leaders should be, or all commissioners should be trying to do, is having those kind of events that across the entire year promote advertising clubs. I don't think it should be one club fair at the beginning of both semesters. I think it's always good for them to be tabling and looking for members, especially towards end of semesters when they may be losing people. So I think retreat is a great time to bond as a department, and then also start planning a lot of the events that we would be trying to do for the academic year.
Senator Belchy?
So Senator Westerman kind of touched on this, but I think that you stated your main focus was on customer service. Is this a part of your goal, or is this like a separate goal, or can you just expand on what you mean by customer service?
So in general, it's very broad. There's a lot of ways that can be accomplished, but in turn, it's really reaching out with club leaders and trying to make it so they don't just view us as people who may give them funds. I want it to be, I want us to be seen as a resource, somebody who can help them with their applications, even like plan events, how to fill out applications, because it can be confusing. I want them to know that ASUN as a whole is there for them. We have a lot of resources that they may not know about because they don't want to take the time to learn. And so if we can be better on the customer service side, so working with the clubs, just building better relationships, I think in turn it makes all of the goals I have easier by making them more likely to go to our events, go to club fair, be less resistant to going to like iLead and stuff, and trainings that we have. So a lot of commissioners have like monthly coalition meetings to give them valuable information, and if they don't have a good relationship with their commissioner, then they're likely not going to go and get that valuable information. So,
Senator, commentary?
So as more and more clubs continue to become a part of our university, how will you fairly manage the budget to clubs that are asking for funding?
So that's a great question. As the clubs increase, we would like to see an increase in budget. Right now, our budget is still stable, so unfortunately, this year we did have to cut in the spring one, which is the start of the spring semester, because we had one of the largest amounts requested that we have ever seen. And right now we have a good idea of the trends that we see, and we've made it so that we can budget it in a way that we don't try to cut funds. So hopefully it's not like this year where we don't get an amount like $130,000 requested when the normal is a fraction of that. So I think with the amount of clubs now, the budget is stable, but as campus grows, as it's supposed to be growing to 25,000, the clubs in turn will also grow. And one of the goals of our department is to increase people in the club, and if, with more people joining clubs, is the more need for funds. So there is potential for the budget needing to expand, but right now it's in a good location for providing funds for all of our clubs.
Senator D. Hall?
I retract my question.
Are there any further questions? Senator Murphy?
So I saw on one of your goals something about like an emerging leader conference. Could you expand a little bit on that, and like how do you advertise this to like underrepresented groups on campus?
So this is an idea that we had at our spring retreat, the spring ASUN retreat. And it's an event we would plan in likely the spring semester. One of the main problems that we all see is trying to advertise these and market these. So hopefully that we can build better relationships with our diverse groups, work with the center, work with TRIO, First in the Pack, First Gen students, working with Desiree Acosta, and really trying to reach these students in getting them aware of this program we want to have. I think it's going to provide them with a lot of great tools and education that will hopefully get them in a mindset of going for leadership positions, feeling more empowered, stuff like that. So hopefully just, again, with the community service, customer service, just trying to build relationships. I think that's the goal all ASUN has, is trying to build better relationships so that events get marketed better. It's something that's always a challenge, but it's something that I think building that relationship and rapport is something I think that will improve it.
Any further questions? All right, we'll now move into discussion. All right, we'll now move into discussion, starting with the first hand. Senator Doyle.
So if you look at the section regarding the director of clubs and orgs in the SAS, it's, in my opinion, rather vague. And this nominee went above those really listed in the SAS, as well as his goals for the department. So if, and he seems like a very motivated individual, so if he adheres to the timeline that he has set, it, I think there can be success in that.
Senator Westerman?
I just really appreciate his overarching goals. I think I agree with Senator Will. He went above and beyond the duties listed in the staff and the people, and that I really appreciate how he made the overarching theme of resolving the divide between ASUN and campus and something that affects all of ASUN, not just for the
Senator J. Hall?
Going along with what they said, I was just going to say that everything that he said as a club leader this year, all of my frustrations, he pretty much had as much as possible. So I thought that was really good.
Senator D. Hall?
I wanted to mention his kind of like bringing up what happened with the funding cut. I think that was a good thing to bring up. And he mentioned as a director how he would go about solving that problem. So it's good.
Awesome. Well, any further discussion? All right, seeing no further discussion, we'll now move into a vote. All in favor of approving the nomination of Davis Florence to the office of Director of the Department of Clubs and Organizations, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the nominee is approved. We'll clap if you want to. That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office of which I am about to enter.
All right, did you guys like the questions prior to seeing the candidate?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do that again. And I'll ask you the same question after this one, and if you guys are like, no, then that's fine. But I'm now seeking a motion to approve the nomination of Gabrielle Liu to the Office of Director of Event Programming. Senator Ahmed.
I move to approve the nomination of Gabrielle Liu.
Office. Is there a second? Senator Pempe?
Second.
All right. Once again, we're just going to move into it. All right. So what do we want to see from the nominee? Starting with the first hand. Senator Ahmed?
Talk in her portfolio about basically recombining the budget of GLF back into the main budget and like changing it into more like a health community thing. I wasn't 100% sure what she meant by that, I mean, the direction she wanted to take with that, so I just wanted to see like her expand on that.
Senator Westerman?
She's probably going to cover this in the talk in her presentation, but really focusing on the shift in students' perspective and views on ASVM programming, especially since like the negative connotation that they had with PLF last year.
Senator D. Hall.
She mentioned in her portfolio meeting with FSL, like she mentioned FSL in general. I just want to see her go in depth, in relation that so many chapters are off campus now.
Any further questions? I think that's a very good baseline. All right, we'll call her back in.
Hello, everybody. So I'm incredibly excited to introduce our next nominee, Gabby Wu, for the Director of Department of Event Programming. Gabby is a third-year student pursuing a Bachelor of Science in Business Management with a minor in Economics. And I cannot think of anyone else that is more qualified to lead this department. Gabby has been planning large-scale events since high school, and from the moment she came to the university, she has been dedicated to making students feel connected to our campus. Gabby has been involved in ASUN programming since her first year and has since served as a programming intern, programmer, and assistant director of marketing and interns. Gabby's role within the department has given her the tools to understand both the day-to-day operations of the department as well as the overarching purpose of why we do our programs and how they help our students, in addition to ways we can best tailor our programs to fit the needs of our students. Finally, her involvement with new student initiatives and various campus organizations have given her the knowledge about what programs would be most impactful for our students. And I can continue to talking about her qualifications, but I'll let Gabby share with you why she's an excellent nominee for the Director of Department of Event Programming.
Thank you.
All right, hello everyone. As Anthony said, my name is Gabby. Real quick, I'm just going to briefly go over why I'm qualified for this position. So as he said, as a freshman, I was a programming intern. I actually won Intern of the Year that year and planned different events like Dear World and Family Weekend. Then my second year, I was a programmer, and I again planned Family Weekend for a second year. I planned Wolf It Down and a bunch of other different events. And then last year, serving as Assistant Director of Marketing and Interns, I actually had the highest retention rate of programming interns that we have ever seen as a department. So that's something I was really proud of because that was one of my goals going into the position. And so overall, throughout the 3 years, I have created such an utmost loyalty and passion for this department as I've been in it for so long. And then additionally, just some other things I do on campus. I'm also a member of the Blue Key Honor Society and was recently elected president of the Business Student Council. Moving forward, I'm just going to quickly talk about myself, just so you guys know me as a person. So first, I genuinely like organizing things. I like organizing things, people, objects, cleaning my room. It really doesn't matter. Organizing my email, if you ever want to take a peek at it, it's pretty appealing to me. But anyways, those are the things that I like. Then genuinely, I value and care about accountability, about being open-minded, about being honest, about just genuine interactions and relationships with other people. And finally, what I want is I want to work with you all, and I want to work in an association that is passionate, as meticulous, and as honest as I am, and that's truly what I want to do, and that is what I've been doing in the association for the past 3 years, just surrounding myself with the people that make me a better leader. So with that said, I'm going to move into my goals. So my first goal is quality over quantity. This is the goal that I hope you recognize from the goals of the Martinez Blancas campaign. My goal is to create quality programming that is both positively impactful and fiscally responsible. It is important to create large-scale events that attract the greatest amount of constituent attendance. Instead of planning a cluster of small events catering to very specific niches of students, I believe that it is more important to use students' funds in a manner that maximizes the cost per student and broadens the awareness of the association. Secondly, to be representative of student voices. The current programming board has been working on sending out follow-up surveys to students who attended the drag show, the Diversity Summit, and the Spring Concert this year. The purpose of these surveys is to gather data as to which students are attending, what they did and did not enjoy about the events, and what they would like to see in the future. From this knowledge, next year's board will be equipped to program events that are the most representative of student voices. My third goal is to create a board that values accountability, transparency, and servitude. Accountability, transparency, and servitude are three of the most important values for any leader to possess, and I choose and hope to carry these values in not only in the office but outside in daily life. I intend to build a board of assistant directors, programmers, and interns that reflect these values through their attitudes, work ethic, and dedication to the department goals. Accountability refers to ability to meet deadlines, arrive to meetings and events prepared, and to be diligent and meticulous in their work. Transparency is the ability to maintain professional relationships, to communicate effectively, and to be an authentic member of a team. And then finally, servitude, and that is to embody the fact that our sole purpose of being in the programming board is student satisfaction and to serve the students and create events that they enjoy. My fourth goal would be to increase student engagement and create a positive perception of Homecoming Week. In recent years, Homecoming Week's look and feel has changed dramatically due to changes in the ASUN programming goals and campus climate. I intend to create a committee of university departments, including fraternity and sorority life, the residential halls, ASUN programming, ASUN clubs and orgs, student representatives, and the Nevada Alumni Association to meet together and build a Homecoming Week that best satisfies the concerns of all parties. And then finally, my last goal, if we have time to talk about it, is to reestablish the Welcome Week concerts. While the Biggest Little Festival has been extremely successful in the past, each year following has been exponentially smaller and less impactful. The truth is, based on our experience as a board, it is not the most effective way to use student funds. Planning such a large-scale event needs to be started much further in advance than it has been. And I would, therefore, I would like to bring back and recreate the Welcome Week concerts.
Awesome. We'll now open it up to questions from the body, starting with the first hand. Senator D. Hall.
So I see on your task list that you have an MSL. What are your specific goals for fraternity and sorority life in relation to ASUN programming, especially with a lot of chapters being unaffiliated?
Yes. So the reason I met with them in the first place is because I am not a part of FSL whatsoever. So I did not understand anything that was happening in terms of contracts, in terms of anything. Like, I have zero understanding. So the reason I met with them was to understand what was happening, to know why these students no longer wanted to sign the contract, why they no longer were recognized by the university, and then see if there was a best way for them to get involved with our events, and if there was a way for them to feel represented by our events in our programming. And so that preliminary meeting was to gain an understanding if, because in years past we've done a competition portion for the homecoming, but then Director Lynch took that away in order to create a more positive space. And essentially what I was doing was testing the waters to see if it would be smart to bring back competition or if it's smart to keep it out and just keep it an all-inclusive homecoming, which after that meeting is what I decided to do.
Senator Ahmed.
So your goal is to establish the Welcome Week concert. I was kind of reading this video, and I'm just kind of like more curious as to like what it meant. So are you essentially just gonna like get rid of the BLF budget and just bring it back into your main budget and just kind of call it the Welcome Week concert? That's essentially the same thing.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So. 3 years ago when BLF started, it was this huge festival. There was zip lines, there was food trucks, there was Ferris wheels. And I know a lot of you guys weren't there for when this happened, but it was a huge event. And come to find out, they actually started planning that in February of the year before, and that's why it was so successful. And since then, we have actually not been granted that amount of time, and so it has proved to be a lot more difficult than we think it is to plan a music festival in a few months. So, with that said, BLF has gotten smaller every year since that year. And last year, it had a few artists, but it was still indoors. There was none of the doodads and the games and the food trucks that there was before. So that was essentially a Welcome Week concert. It was just marketed as BLF. So what I would like to do is just market it not as BLF, because I think that the word festival promises that there's going to be all this whole experience and the sitting in the grass and the everything that comes with the festival. And so I'd like to rename it and just keep the marketing consistent and honest and focus on using the money to bring a headliner that students really want to see. Because at the moment, students still aren't sure how they feel about ASUN programming after BLF, and so I'd like to just regain their trust.
Senator Beltre?
Yeah, so in your portfolio, you lightly touch on the idea of a color run. I know I've heard some students say that they actually like the idea of that. And it says in your portfolio that it has been attempted before. Mm-hmm. Do you know what went wrong, and if so, what could possibly change?
So as long as I've been in programming, color run, everyone wants to do a color run. That's everyone's idea of what they want to do. And the reason that I put it on here is because it's brought up every year. But the reason that we have never done it is because the university is, it's the cleanest. You know, you cannot control where all the paint or the powder or wherever. You can't control where it goes, essentially. And damage to the university property is going to inevitably be very expensive. And so usually the idea gets shot down because of that. And then you think about campus or something like that, but I know that we're not allowed to host events at Rancho San Rafael, and it just gets complicated when we try to transport students from the university to off-campus locations. So it has just all around been an event that has a lot of pushback and has never been done purely because of that. And yet again, I still hear about it every single year. Students want to see it. So I think that that would be a cool idea to explore even further, try again as we do every year.
Senator Rogers?
As a director, how will you maintain equity with the new
department? Well, can you say that?
As a director, how will you maintain equity with the new department?
Can you explain what you mean by equity?
How will you make sure that each of your... each member in your department gets what they need specifically instead of on a team basis?
I think that mostly will come through my third goal, which is through accountability and transparency. I know that a lot of my goals are team-oriented, but those things actually apply to individuals and individuals in their life. So one thing to make sure that they're getting what they want out of this experience is to hold me accountable and to hold me transparent, which I always try to do in my everyday life. So if I'm expecting them to always tell me the truth and always communicate with me if they have a problem, and to always just let me know where they're at or what they need help with or what they want or what they need, as long as they communicate with me, I will be more than willing to give them anything or to change what I'm doing to make it better. But essentially, I'm not a mind reader, and so that just comes from them being able to articulate what it is that needs to be changed.
Thank you. Senator Melcher?
So you're talking about the LA, right? And how it's decreasing every year. Do you have a percentage on that? On how much it's been decreasing each year?
No.
And then do you have any data for how much decreasing everyone wants to do the color run? Do you have any data for that as well?
No, that one I don't have data for the color run. That's just something that, because I've been in the department for so long, people, either interns or programmers or assistant directors, when they apply, they always suggest a color run as their, like, event idea. Again, I just oversaw 10 interns last year, and I could probably say at least 50% of them came up with color run as their new, brand new idea. Or they came up and said, oh, this is something that I heard someone would like to do. And that has happened not only last year, but every year that I've been in programming. And then actually the year that I was a programmer, I partnered with the dorms and diversity inclusion, and I tried to help them plan their own color run, but it inevitably failed because they did not have the budget to support such a large-scale event.
Awesome. And then just going on further with questions, remember that we are trying to ask questions to ensure that they can do the duties within the SAS. So with that, I have Westerman, Yang, and then Commandery.
What are some other ways that you can outreach to students besides the surveys that you discussed in your portfolio?
So of course I touched on this a bit yesterday, so I'm going to use the same example as I did with oversight, but I think that the programming department actually has the most ability for outreach than any other department by the nature of what we do. So if you think about Welcome Week, for example, and the Club Fair Barbecue, we serve so many burgers to students, and the amount of contact and FaceTime that we have with them just by physically serving them food at every single one of our events. If you say on average we serve 300 students food at one event and we have 5 days worth of events, that's so many students that we are able to face-to-face outreach with and get feedback with and market with and just generally create connections and create a positive outlook base with.
Senator Yang?
To touch back on your first goal of quality over quantity, what factors will make the larger scale events more higher quality than previous large events?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing will, of course, be the results of our surveys, number one. So the surveys questions that we asked in the surveys were like, what's the best way to market our events to you? How did you hear about this event? What did you like about this event? What kind of event, what type of event would you like to see more in the future? Different things like that. So once I get a hold of that data, I think that that is going to be, number one, an excellent way to make large-scale events more representative of what they want. For the most part, large-scale events are actually easier to market in general, and those ones are, in my opinion, the quality events that we have. And then it's difficult more when we have the smaller events, when it's catered to a very specific thing, that half the time we have to ask our friends to come because we're the only ones that end up being there, and that kind of thing is very disheartening. And so I think that is why I would like to move towards the higher quality large events, because I think that quality and the size of them typically go hand in hand in our terms.
Senator Commandery?
So what do you want to see improve within your internship program as you recently just oversaw?
I'm not to chew my own horn, I'm pretty excited. I think that the internship went really well. I guess always increasing the retention rate is going to be good, as well as the retention rate from intern to programmer. So the people who at the end of the year apply again, that would be something really awesome to see. People who also enjoyed their experience so much that they want to continue in the department, I think that is really awesome, and that they genuinely enjoy their time and want to stay a part of the internship.
Senator Appiah?
I know you talked a lot about reestablishing Welcome Week and the possibility of a color run, but are there any other events that you have geared towards under other events?
So the one other event that I thought of was a pumpkins patch / Halloween event. This I just randomly came up with, but I realized, number one, people love taking pictures of pumpkin patches. They love it. And I think that half the time people come to concerts and things is for the social media and to post pictures and to post a video, hey, I saw this artist. So that is one thing. I think that a pumpkin patch / Halloween event is a great idea because, number one, it would support a local pumpkin patch in general, which I think is great to just have an event. I know we don't do it much, but to have events off campus really encourages our relationship with the Reno community. For example, when we do Ice with the Aces and we shuttle students to the ice skating rink outside of the Aces Stadium, that event is actually very successful, and I think students really love it, and I think that they love having the students there. And so I think it would be great to apply that to a pumpkin patch because, you know, anyone can come, and we can pick a more central location. Because of the fact that it's not on campus, students who might not want to make that whole drive, say we choose a pumpkin patch that is midway towards like Reno neighborhoods, it might make it easier for them to attend and maybe give them more of an incentive to not always be on campus all the time. Yes. Hopefully that answered your question.
All right, any final questions for the nominee? All right, seeing none, we'll move into a discussion. Thank you. Thank you.
So I had the opportunity to give this presentation in oversight, and I also asked a lot of questions of Ms. Liu, and she was able to answer all questions incredibly thoroughly and without hesitation, and you can see the drive and goals that she has for this department. And I was incredibly impressed with how readily prepared she is for the role. I believe that she will guide the Department of Programming in a successful direction.
Senator Harvey?
I really enjoyed her presentation, as well as previous senators have stated. The only thing that I would say that I would critique was the last question that was asked. She didn't really describe how she would make programming events that would that were geared towards underrepresented students. She did have the one, but I think that it would be really important to have at least one big event throughout the year that was specifically geared toward underrepresented groups on campus.
I have Dee Hall and then Stuffle.
So, like, kind of going off of Senator Harvey, she really didn't mention the underrepresented groups, and also in the SAS Chapter 203, Section 3, one of her duties is to research national trends, diversity initiatives, and traditions to create all-inclusive programs. So I would have liked to hear about that. But I did like how she met with FSL. She didn't have an understanding of it, so it shows her initiatives to understand groups that she doesn't really understand herself.
Senator Stubble.
I understand where Senator Harvey and Senator Hall are coming from when they propose the underrepresented students. But that she has the entire programming board once she is appointed. And through that, they have so many more events. These are just two that she came up with for this application. So she's going to be coming up with more throughout the entire session. So I want to question that capability of her at those events. Also, I just want to say that for her third goal of accountability, transparency, and certitude, I admire the fact that she was able to embody this throughout her entire portfolio and the entire time you were questioning her here and in oversight.
Senator Beltre?
So going off a little, just to, re-highlight what Senator Sokol said about the accountability, it's proven that she holds herself accountable just because she realized that BLF didn't do so great, and it's kind of on a downward trend. And then she wants to do something different with it, and also hold yourself to accountability in the calendar by giving us specific dates on when she plans to have stuff done along with that.
Any further discussion? Okay. All right. I'll go Senator Harvey, Bamford, and then Melcher.
Mine's just a question. When we do discussion, when she comes back in, are we allowed to recommend her to make more inclusive programs?
Yeah, definitely. If she is approved, you can. You're more than welcome to reach out to her and give her that feedback, like personally. I strongly encourage you to do that. All right, Senator Bamford.
Yeah, I just like to point out like how much of a data-driven person she is just from her presentation, and so the Department of Event Programming is a very creative department, and so I think that with her organization and her data-driven personality, she's really going to hold all the people in that department accountable to really get done what needs to get done in the department.
Senator Melcher?
Not only that, but like her two ideas, like the fact that she did mention like some of the flaws in them and how she could help with those flaws, even though she didn't really, she doesn't color them, but she did say that the pain was just kind of like,
awesome. Is there any discussion on like points where she is not qualified for the position? All right, seeing that, we'll move into a vote. All in favor of approving the nomination of Gabrielle Liu to the Office of Director of Event Programming, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? All right, the nominee is approved. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Gabby
Gabby Lou.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations. All right, and I'll ask this again. Do you guys want to continue with the questions prior? All right. So with that said, I am now seeking a motion to approve.
Points of privilege.
Oh.
Can I close this?
Yeah. Thank you. That's really good. Do you need that one, please?
Mm-hmm. A little
bit.
Yeah.
All right. I am now seeking a motion to approve the nomination of Austin Brown to the office of Chief Presidential Aide. Senator Westerman.
I move to approve the nomination of Austin Brown to the office of Chief Presidential.
Is there a second? Senator Yang.
Second.
All right. With that said, we'll now move into a discussion from the body to start off. All right. So what questions will you guys have for the nominee or anything that you would like to see from him? Senator DeHall.
So in one of his duties in the staff, it says to coordinate resources of ASUN and departments in order to ensure goals of the association are met. I would just like to know his goals on aiding with all the departments since there are so many things to touch upon in each department.
Senator Supple.
I just want to have it reiterated here. As for the staff in Section 3, Subsection E, planning for me is one that raises the age of the adoption of the county.
Any further questions or things they would like to see from the nominee? Senator Harvey.
I would like to know in specificity to the executive internship internship program, not the full internship program, how he will attempt to implement professional development and career building in the internship program.
Perfect. Any further questions? Senator Watt.
Alongside Senator Harvey's point, he mentions a lot on his syllabus of like educating about the different departments, but there's really nothing on there about educating about the executive's department, and it's the executive internship. So that's I want to know how he's going to implement that, not just through mentorship.
Awesome. All right. With that said, we'll have him come back into the room for a presentation.
Hello again, everybody. It's me. I know. So, Austin Brown is an incoming sophomore studying psychology, and he is currently enrolled in the Honors College at the university. He has been an involved leader both on campus and in the Reno community. On campus, where he has served in RHA, the Residential Housing Association, and ASUN, and off campus, where he has worked with NASC, the Nevada Association of Student Councils, and other customer service-oriented jobs. This past year, Austin has served as a judicial intern for ASUN, where he was introduced to the association, bringing in new ideas and trying to collaborate with individuals outside of the judicial department. He had clearly exceeded nearly every expectation of the role of an intern. Austin, again, has tons of experience in planning events, working in leadership development, and collaborating with campus leaders with his experience in the Nevada Association of Student Councils. Austin brings many great strengths to the role of Chief of Staff, but the ones that are incredibly strong to me are his incredible work ethic and his ability to be the right-handed individual necessary in any given situation. Austin is ready to pick up a task that needs to be finished, needs further oversight, or challenging an idea with a diverse and unique perspective. Austin is a wonderful leader, and he is incredibly invested in the success of this organization, future interns, and all of you. And I cannot wait for him to see, and I cannot wait for him to share his vision with all of you. So without further ado, Austin.
Hello, senators. It's good to see some of you again, all of you today. I'm going to hand out right now the internship syllabus, the potential one I propose. Just so you can take a look at that, and we'll touch on that in a second. So, first off, I'd just like to say a little bit about me. My name is Austin Brown, as Anthony had mentioned. I'm a current freshman. Next year I'll be a sophomore, a psychology major, adding a business minor. So we'll just kind of jump in straight into the goals that I have for this week. So my first goal would be administration success. So whether it be something small that Anthony and Nicole might need me to do, as canceling a meeting, maybe just some little touching in with an email real quick, or even taking on a whole project, I'm willing to do it all. And I really hope that I could do it to the best of my ability. And so making sure that they're successful in their goals and making accomplish what they want to would be my main goal for this future. The next goal that I have would be intern success. So coming straight out of the internship program, I have a good sense of what worked, what didn't, and what I would like to kind of improve in this next session. So with that, we can kind of take a look at the internship syllabus that I handed out to all of you, just as a proposed sort of plan. So there are some things that I put on there that I'd like to see kind of promoted within each internship. So the four of them being ASUN exposure, a four-year plan, other interviews, as well as a final presentation. So I feel as though these could all give the interns kind of a well-rounded experience in their internship program. They're allowed to talk to different people, they can get more information, things to see what they really want to do within this association. So I think a part of being an intern would also be setting them up socially, academically, and professionally. So with that, I think a lot of the curriculum would be good for that, meeting those three goals. And I think that the curriculum can be tailored to any department. So I think what works for judicial branch might not work for the Senate interns with a larger group. And I think that it would be important to sit down with the department heads to see what works for them and what they want to see implemented within their internship. The next goal that I have would be a retreat like no other. So I think that retreat is a crucial part of the AH1 experience and making sure that the association is very successful. Because all of you work together, you work closely with each other, I think that setting up a bonding experience is something that we should spend a lot of time on. With that being said, I would love to set up kind of a theme for a retreat. So it might be something showy that you kind of see, you could decorate for, or something along the lines of that, along with some like ethical and moral themes that President and Vice President would like to teach and embody within all of the officers. The next goal of mine would be to push others to do their best. So with this, kind of making sure that the resources of AHUN are being used appropriately and to the best of their ability to push forward the association's goals. I think it's important to check in with other officers to see, hey, what do you need? What do you need to be successful, and how can I do that? And then finally, my last goal that I'm presenting to all of you today would be kind of working on the John Jay Endowment Fund. And so with this, I would love to get more student involvement and get more knowledge around it, because going into this position, I didn't really have a lot of knowledge about this, and so I think sitting down and learning a lot more about it would be beneficial to everyone. I would love to see a fundraiser in the future that's comparable to the Blue Tie Ball, and so what that might look like this year is setting up a banquet with some alumni, maybe some AHUN alumni specifically, to set the platform to hopefully have that grow in the future, because I think that would be something super important that benefits a lot of students that we don't necessarily see, but I think it benefits our campus as a whole. Okay, that's it. So if there's any questions.
Yeah. We'll open it up to questions, starting with the first hand, Senator Harvey.
Okay, so my question is, have you met with the previous chief of staff? And if so, have you discussed the continuation of the role or things to improve for the position?
So I've not yet met with Chief of Staff Dutcher. I look forward to doing that in the future, especially with learning more about the internship. I myself was not an executive intern, but I look forward to seeing kind of what worked for the executive this year, what other changes he would like to have made in the past, and especially for the position as a whole, because I think it's important to gain insight from previous experience and hopefully continue some of what he was picking up where he left off.
Senator Westerman.
So pursuant to the staff chapter 201, section 3, subsection 3. So it says that you are to oversee and plan operations in the executive branch. Seeing as you are a freshman currently, and your previous experience in ASUN is only being an intern, how would you handle someone potentially undermining your authority in this capacity of your oversight?
Mm-hmm. So I think while I don't have a lot of experience with NASUN, I have a lot of experience that's applicable to this position in the past. So my senior year of high school, I was the Western Region Representative for the Nevada Association of Student Councils, and with that, I had the privilege of planning a conference for 700 leadership students here in Northern Nevada. So with that, my coordination, teamwork, planning, all sorts of kind of coordination to get this data really come together and work with all sorts of people. And so I feel as though I have kind of a good understanding of like just how to work with others and how to productively work together to get to ensure the success of this association and the internship as a whole. I think that it's just important to kind of collaborate and say, hey, like, is something going on? What are you expecting from me? And how can I deliver on this? And I think that goes both ways. I think that's not just for me to do. I think it's both.
Senator Commandery?
So on your portfolio, you have like a list of things you want your interns to complete. So how do you plan on keeping your interns accountable for those things you want them to do?
So if you go to the bottom on the first page of the internship, there's a section titled Removal from the Internship. In this section, it kind of talks about the layout. So upon first offense of not fulfilling one of the duties, it would just be a face-to-face conversation with the intern and myself. With that saying, like, hey, what's going on? Is there something that I need to know about? How can I help to make sure that you're doing your best? Because that's really what this internship is about, is the success of them. Upon second offense, they'd be asked to meet with the department head to discuss their involvement with the internship and just kind of figure that out that way. And upon a third offense, I would ask for a letter of resignation or something similar because I feel as though the internship might not be the best fit. I just want to make sure you're using your time wisely.
Senator D. Hall.
Referencing Chapter 201, Section 3 of the SAS, one of your supposed duties is to coordinate resources of ASUN and departments in order to ensure the goals of this association are met. How do you plan on making sure that you are consistently reaching out to all departments in ASUN?
So I would love to maybe send out a Google form, maybe have like monthly one-on-one meetings with department heads. Just kind of check in and see, hey, what is your department working on? What do you need from the president's cabinet, especially the president and the vice president? And just what do you need to help your department succeed? So I think a lot of the departments are in charge of their own resources, and so it would just be easiest to say, like, do a little check to see what works. That's it.
Senator Watt.
So you mentioned that you haven't met with past chief of staff Dutcher, and that you also didn't have a lot of knowledge on the endowment fund, and you were also judicial intern. So can you just briefly like touch on who you have spoken to, because obviously it's not here with the duties, but who you've talked to get a more in-depth just layout of what you're supposed to be doing?
Absolutely. So I've met extensively with President Martinez and Vice President Plangus. They've prepped me a lot with what they would expect from me in this job position if I get appointed today. With that being said, I think they've kind of set the groundwork. They've given me the base layer, and so in the future, I would be learning, kind of going straight into it, figuring out what we want for the John Mackey Endowment Fund, what fundraisers we want, how can we best promote this. I've also spoken to the past chief, or the current chief justice. She was, in fact, my intern leader, and so I've sat down with her and kind of talked about what works for her internship program and what didn't. And so we figured out what would be beneficial in the future, hopefully. But like I said, all of the curriculum on the internship is changeable depending on the program.
Any further questions for the nominee? All right, we'll now move into a discussion. Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Senator Westerman.
I said this yesterday at Oversight, and I think that what the candidate lacks in potential experience within ASUN, he makes up for with drive and precision and goals, and he has a precise plan on what exactly he wants to do, and it's all attainable and very clear to follow.
Senator Supple.
So I have the honor and the privilege to be an intern with Austin Brown, so I got to see his work ethic firsthand, and as President Martinez said, he has an incredible work ethic, and I can honestly vouch for that any day, anytime, anything he does. I don't think there's anything Austin Brown can't do. I think he's perfect for this position. I think he can bring his team to great places and create great interns and make the department. So I don't think lack of experience, age,
is not being involved in the executive internship specifically should be a step back from learning your situation.
Senator Beltre.
So although Mr. Brown is a freshman, he seemed very well prepared. The only thing that I could recommend is that I hope he meets with the former staff just to get that extra knowledge.
Senator Rogers.
I also am not very familiar with the endowment fund, and I really appreciate that he brought it to all of our attention, just so that he can focus on it more and get us a little bit more involved with it to make it more of a priority for us, so I definitely appreciate that.
Awesome. Is there any discussion on any, like, disqualifications for the nominee? All right, seeing none, we will now move into a vote. All in favor of approving the nomination of Austin Brown to the Office of Chief Presidential Aide, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
Void.
Do you want to say why?
I have a personal relationship with the candidate.
All right, thank you. With that, the nominee is approved. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Austin Brown.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
All right, we will now move into our final nominee. I am seeking a motion to approve the nomination of Omar Moore to the Office of Attorney General. Senator Harvey.
I move to approve the nomination of Omar Moore to the Office of Attorney General.
Is there a second? Senator Prempeh?
Second.
All right, and once again, we'll move into the discussion from the body prior to a presentation from the nominee. Thank you. All right, so what questions will we like to hear from the nominee? Senator Yang.
As he was the Attorney General for the succession, I'd like to get his input on what changes he would like to establish as if he was elected as Attorney General for the.
Senator D. Hall.
I've read the stats on his duties, and some of them mentioned outreach with students, and I would just like to get his input on how he's going to outreach with students.
Perfect. Senator Westerman and then Melcher.
The duties of the staff are very specific with things that you want to give those specific policy descriptions. So asking those kind of specific questions with how they're going to be upheld.
Senator Melcher.
You mentioned that he was struggling with the internal regulation, and I was curious on how he would improve on that.
Can you clarify on the internal regulation? Senator Supple.
As for the staff, I want to know how the Attorney General would investigate alleged violations of the election code and prosecute offenders before the Judicial Council in this session as opposed to last session.
Perfect. Any further questions? All right. With that said, we'll move into a presentation on the nominee. Or from Vice President Flingus, my bad.
Hello, Senators. Okay. I am here again today to speak on behalf of Omar Moore for the position of Attorney General in the 87th session. Omar Moore was selected because of his extensive knowledge of the SAS and of ASUM procedure and precedence, of the work, research, and goals that both he and Daniel Little have started and continue to work on regarding the election code, and because he understands the importance of creating and enforcing fair, logical, and reasoned precedent. In his interview, nominee Moore expressed the importance of maintaining the integrity of the SAS and creating reasoned decisions which are not the will of the president, but rather the fair representation of our governing documents. This kind of integrity and dedication to logical, fair decision-making processes make him not only our Attorney General, but rather a public servant dedicated to fair governance and fair governing standards. We are confident that he will continue to serve the association at the high quality of service he did for the past session, and that he has learned from that experience and will help suggest much-needed revisions of the governing documents and procedures, ensuring that our association is as accessible and fair as it was intended to be. So without further ado, I'll have Omar present.
Thank you so much, Nicole. So great to see all of you today. So I'm pretty much going to start with a preface about myself and then move through my portfolio and explain the goals more thoroughly. To start with myself, I was first asked in the interview why I originally wanted the position, and I realized that it was actually an important answer to me, which was just because after serving as an officer in the past term, it fundamentally changes how you view what your role as a student is and how the student experience should be. Instead of just going to classes and paying the tuition and getting what you put in, you can do so much more and actually make invariably different impacts and changes on the campus as a student. And I'm really hoping to continue to make an impact with the association over this next term. Since high school, I've been very fond of the principles of law and ethics. I've previously worked as clerk at the Clark County Public Defender's Office and District Attorney's Office, and I currently consolidate a series of different subject research for a law office. So as far as my analysis and my interpretation skills, which are well-grounded in what the duties of the position ask, I feel very, very confident in my ability to meet the needs of the position. So I guess kind of starting off with goal zero, which isn't necessarily in the portfolio, would be kind of what Nicole was talking about, would be a continuation of the service I've already been doing. And I kind of think that in the continued term, it would be almost boosted in that coming into the Office of Attorney General, and a lot of people who have been a part of the association in other capacities can confirm this, there's a lot of ambiguity that surrounds the position of Attorney General, even a couple weeks before this meeting, I was still getting questions from people like, oh, so what is it exactly that you do? And I think that ambiguity also served to deter the effectiveness of the position in that there wasn't a clear framework for how it should be gone about and the things that you should immediately start doing to hit the ground running. I think that in a second term, there will be more seamless procedural oversight and things of those matters. For my first goal in the portfolio, I talk about duty expansion. So kind of bouncing off of the idea of the ambiguity of the role and people kind of not knowing what the Attorney General does, this goal was kind of inspired for the need to fill that void, or I guess the deficit. A criticism that ASUN frequently gets or has gotten in the past is kind of taking more proactive measures or stances in response to student actions and student needs. And so I kind of took this as a unique opportunity to indulge that. So over the past term, if the duties of the Attorney General were broken out into four complacent parts, it would be kind of opinions, elections, cabinet, and cabinet duties as part of being an exec member, and then transparency, and that would be like the internal regulations of the association. With this expansion, part of the duties of all cabinet members are to sit on assigned university committees and actually act as the student advocate in those decision-making bodies. And so one of the ones that I wasn't originally assigned but was brought to my attention through Dr. Beattie, actually, was the Student Advisory Board through the Office of Student Conduct. So they actually hear multiple cases pertaining to different issues that directly deal with student issues. So students dealing with cases pertaining to academic integrity, to cases as severe as sexual assault, are all heard by peers as well as university admin and faculty members to come to, I guess, the most sound decision. And this was a unique opportunity to actually take a more proactive role. In the future, I would hope to actually be a permanently sitting member for the ASUN Executive Board, as they do provide free grade trainings for sexual assault hearings and academic integrity.
Beyond that, the second goal was the election reform. And so pretty much we have a whole bunch of comprehensive changes we'd like to get in place that I've already been discussing thoroughly with the current director of elections, Daniel Little, as well as Dr. Beattie. There's a litany of changes from minor clerical ones to more substantive reforms that intend to open the election process to be more inclusive, to increase the participation, because ultimately that should be the objective of increasing the democratic engagement of any election process. Some of the things we've talked about have been like campaign financing assistance, appeals processes for campaign deposits so that students aren't deterred by financial barriers, which we have empirically seen in the past, as well as reforms to things outside of the elections code, like judicial procedure, which served as a deterrent to hearing some charges this year, but I'm sure we'll discuss it in a bit. So I look forward to answering any questions.
Thank you. Well, I'll open it up for questions. Senator Pompe?
Seeing that you've served as Attorney General in the past, are there any mistakes that you've seen, whether it be yourself or three Attorney Generals before you, and how this model fits in the future?
Absolutely. As far as mistakes during my term specifically, on page 8 of, at the top of page 8 of my portfolio, I reference procedures for changes, or the procedure for charges, which refers to the judicial procedure section of the SAS. And so this has served as a deterrent, not just in my term, but in previous terms as well, where charges weren't able to be heard because of the qualification for what qualifies as good faith. Throughout the SAS, and this has been discussed in other parties throughout the association, it's the phrase a week of or a week after is kind of used as the arbitrary determinant for when something should be completed. And so ultimately, the one for judicial procedures dictates that they must be filed the Tuesday following elections, which is the week of spring break. So historically, this has, and in my case as well, stopped charges from being heard in that case. But again, that's something that we have discussed with the Director of Elections, other senators, and is already on the docket for discussion in regards to judicial changes. So I would hope that in the future that wouldn't be a problem. But again, have this being a second term, I also wouldn't anticipate any hiccups with judicial procedure or filing charges in any scenario.
Senator Paul.
So outlined in the SAS Chapter 205, Section 2 of your duties, one of them includes assisting any students interested in writing a petition for initiative referendum. How often were you approached to do that last term, and how will you use outreach to let students know they can write initiatives with your help?
Wow. So great question. I love that question. I actually discussed this in my interview with President Martinez and Vice President Flangus. I brought it up because historically I reference it as something that has generally been underutilized, if not blatantly ignored. Most people are generally naive to the different facets of what goes into the elections and ballots, and petitions are generally something that do, or petitions are definitely one of those things that people aren't aware of. People just think candidates and occasional ballot questions, but even the ballot questions get confusing. With petitions specifically, I definitely want to promote those as a vehicle for student voices. I want more people to be aware of those. But also in my, analysis of the text for petitions, and that would be in 207, which would be, or 702, not 207, 702, which is the elections code, the way that the structure for petitions is, as it's currently written in the SAS, requires students to go through all of the procedures to put it on a ballot with over a year before it will even be placed on the next ballot, which I think things like that and certain stipulations in the procedures in the SAS right now serve as a deterrent to students wanting to utilize these vehicles, because I can say right now I really wouldn't be motivated to put anything on a petition as a student currently if I know that it wouldn't be even during an election while I would be a student at this university. And so pretty much, one, making it more accessible, making it more convenient and usable to the students, but also promoting it so that they are aware that that's an option for them to use, absolutely.
Senator Supple.
So as the Judicial Council charge is not being filed, it says the case is found in good faith, the conditions are not restricted guidelines for determining this condition,
8th, election code violations are considered filed in good faith if the bylaws are not filed before 4 p.m. on the Tuesday following the close of the polls, and they were not received by the Chief Justice until Thursday, March 28th, wherein they should have been received by Tuesday, March 19th, I believe. So, in regards to you talking about how judicial procedure should be amended, why didn't this go through? Like, why did this happen?
So I would say to reference the previous answer that I gave to Premby in regards to discussing that. First, it was outside of the elections code. It's in the judicial procedure section of the SAS. So yes, it was an oversight on my part. Originally, I had thought, and again, this I guess would be seamed or quashed under the understanding that under a second term, I'd be aware of this now. But in that instance, I had initially notified all of the charges weeks before the election had closed. The charge sheet was the thing that I was not specifically aware of needing to qualify as, like, the charges needing to be filed. So up until that point, I had technically thought the charges had been filed, had already been filed. But again, obviously this would not be a problem in the future. One, because hopefully that portion is amended. But two, I would be aware of it.
I have Yang, Doyle, and then Rogers. So Senator Yang.
So you mentioned earlier how you want to promote the fact that students can use petitions, and but oftentimes it can be intimidating. So how do you plan on promoting this to students?
So I guess the promotion aspect of what I was discussing with Senator Hall would, one, be a lot of word of mouth, like just telling people, yo, you know you can do this. But also, me and the Director of Elections, Daniel Little, do have a lot of constructive sessions for outreach events for encouraging involvement in the elections. This year, we kind of did the traditional, both of us were, this was our first term for both of us in these seats this year, so we kind of stuck with the traditional events of the pre-campaigning workshops before elections started, and the mandatory campaigning and things along those and things of that nature. But given that this year we also noticed a significant drop in voter turnout, it's a major goal for next year to obviously increase that turnout, return to high levels, hopefully above 20%, 25% around there. But obviously, in order to do that, you can't just be focusing on the candidates themselves and facilitating the elections. You want to be focusing on the voters themselves and the promotion of the events in the election. And so we have discussed a bunch of constructive ideas to just promote the election in general so that people can be more participative outside of just being a candidate and having those candidates tell their friends.
Senator.
Okay. Yeah, and pretty much it would be incorporated in that, like discussing petitions and the various outlets that students have to use their voice on the ballot.
Sorry about that. Senator Doyle.
In the SAS Chapter 205, Section 2, Subsection A, it states the Attorney General shall issue advisory opinions concerning the law, legislation, and other act of the association. So how do you hope to effectively issue advisory opinions concerning these governing documents to the association?
That's a great question. So first, I think the priority with any opinion is to remain fair and impartial. As Nicole said, it is not in my interest to give opinions of a particular agenda that align with anyone specifically. It's always my objective to interpret things as they were intended and to be as ethical as possible in that approach. And so I would say I generally already do that. Examples of the opinions that I've already published over my last term can be found at the links at the bottom of my portfolio for anyone wanting to see that. But additionally, I would also say I have extensive knowledge outside of just the association of statutes of the associated students. Doing a lot of research and having worked as a clerk at the DA's office, I have extensive knowledge of the NRS, which occasionally comes into relevance when dealing with Nevada open meeting law and the other things that fall under the purview of the Attorney General. And so I think a lot of my outside knowledge, but also my experience in the association over the past year, writing those opinions that you have access to will help me continue to issue good opinions of high quality.
Senator Rogers.
So you discussed wanting to have a more prevalent role of campus affairs, but do you plan on working with the University Affairs Committee, like the Director of Legislative Affairs works with public affairs, or is it just having a seat on the conduct hearing committee?
Honestly, if I'm being quite frank, that had not occurred to me. As Attorney General, I had previously worked a very, I guess, isolated and limited role. The main Senate committee I'd worked with was GovOps, but now realizing that that's an outlet and a resource to use, I would definitely use that being, I guess, a medium between the Association and the Office of Student Conduct. I think that's extremely relevant for the Committee on University Affairs and would definitely attend those meetings. So, yeah.
Senator Westerman?
I actually have two questions, if that's all right.
I have two answers.
So, the first is, have you planned, and you kind of touched on this briefly, but I just kind of want to ask more in depth.
Absolutely.
Have you planned on specifically advising the senators, maybe regarding our committees or legislation, is that concerning law legislation or any other act of the association as per the statute, Chapter 205, Section 2, Section 3?
So that is something that I would just say is kind of like wine and gets better with age. I think after a year, I've gotten more and more comfortable with Nevada open meeting law and the things that senators and committee chairs, department heads need to be familiar with. Additionally, I would say that I hope to, I guess, implement a series of small tweaks to improve the efficacy of those procedures. In the past, I've always sent committee chairs reminders before certain holidays to remember to agendize when not including certain business days. But I would have, I guess, a more systemic approach to that now that I've gone through it instead of having to, like, frequently look at calendars or do it, I guess, on a step-by-step nature.
And my second question is, you previously mentioned various changes to the staff that you think need to be made based on your experience in the position last term, and I'm just curious why you're waiting until the second term to make those changes when you could have made them in your previous term.
That's an excellent question. And so I would say the majority of SAS revisions I've discussed, every SAS revision I've specifically discussed, actually, is pertinent specifically to the elections. And so, again, with this being my first year in office, I definitely didn't encounter the elections or get to deal with the elections as an attorney general or as a facilitator until these last couple months. And I think that going through the elections as attorney general gave me the unique opportunity to view it through a critical lens and to isolate the areas to improve to make it a better process for the following year. But, yeah, I would say that most of those revisions are pertinent to the elections, and a lot of them, especially the clerical ones, because when I say a lot of the revisions, none of the bulk of them are not substantial revisions. The SAS, the elections code specifically, just generally needs to be cleaned up. Over the last few years, it's been edited and largely changed. There used to be an elections commission that was taken out recently, and so there are just blips and pieces that just need to be generally cleaned up, and so we have that whole comprehensive version between me and Director Little, but I would say, like, of the few substantive ones, they're all pertinent to the elections and would stem from my recent experience.
Senator Romero?
So, in your portfolio, you mentioned that students don't really know what it is they do in general, and you mentioned that it's not necessarily about things. So, my question is, well, could you just elaborate on your thought process on this, especially because one of your goals is to broaden your involvement?
Right. So you're asking me to elaborate on the little, like, personal quip in the portfolio. Like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So pretty much that was just there because, like, it was kind of a joke that people would make over my last term, which is not meant to be taken seriously in the slightest, but was just that if you don't hear from the Attorney General or know much of him, it's probably a good thing because the Attorney General is kind of like the regulatory body or agent in the association, so most times when you're hearing from him, it's bad. You're probably going to get points because you canceled a meeting or didn't get quorum or something along those lines. And so that was more of like a personal quip. The main point to be taken from that goal would be the title, which is duty expansion. I definitely want people to be familiar with me as an officer.
All right, any further questions for the nominee? Senator Doyle?
So, one of the jobs of the Attorney General for the SAS is responsible for enforcing the Code of Conduct. So in Section 5, how do you hope to enforce that officers and the associated students behave in such a way as to maintain and advance the integrity of the association?
I kind of briefly talked about this in the previous question you had asked, but a large value set that I carry in my position and just in even my career pursuits, wanting to be a prosecutor one day is just uncompromising ethics. This is something that's been stressed previously in a couple of my opinions. The one that was specifically a popular one was the opinion regarding the Smith, where I had to specifically interrogate and evaluate whether there would be a conflict of interest in that instance. And so it's instances like that that I think have allowed me to be able to identify that fine line of when a conflict of interest arises, when a student is acting with the most integrity or being fulfilling their duties per the requirements of the SAS and per their obligation of the students who elected them. So, yeah, I would say over the last year, I've definitely developed a good sense of that.
Awesome. Well, thank you. With that, we'll move into a discussion from the body.
Thank you.
All right, we'll start with the discussion, starting with the first hand, Senator Doyle.
Through the speaker to Chief Justice Grosbeck, may I ask you a few questions regarding the nominee?
We're actually going to leave the discussion pertinent to the Senate body at this time.
Okay, so do you know when I can ask the questions?
Are they about the nominee? Are they, like, discussing with the Senate body what you, like, the nominees, like, pertinent to the staff? Okay, yeah, you can ask her. Yeah, you can ask.
Is that okay with you? How would you say the candidate did in regard to prosecuting offenders before the Judicial Council, as well as the procedure regarding prosecuting offenders?
So there were only two charges, and they were both denied by the council unanimously on the basis of not problems of faith, because of that timeline that you just talked about.
And then, in your professional opinion, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well did nominee Moore do in the role of Attorney General and the duties of his task?
We're not going to answer that. Yeah. So at this time, I strongly encourage all of you to just discuss what the nominee applied. You all had time to ask questions to the nominee. Once again, this was determined by the president and vice president as the most qualified individual for the position. Right now, it is our duty to ensure that we believe that he is qualified based off the information that he has provided all of us today. So with that, I'll move into a question from Senator D. Hall.
I think with this duty, you have to have a really good understanding of the SAS and policies in general. And I think he really demonstrates that he knows the SAS in and out. Like, he referenced it out of nowhere when I asked a question. So I think that's important to all of the duties, that he has a clear understanding of how the Attorney General works. I think to
Senator Beltre.
So Mr. Moore just stated he's a clerk for the DA's office, and it seems like it's been, I agree with Senator D. Hall, that he has a bit of knowledge about the SAS through his experience using in and out overall. and that kind of all leads, pushes together into showing that he has a passion in this aspect.
Senator Supple.
I would have to respectfully disagree with that statement. Just based on the fact that it is in the SAS that he has a so this is the SAS section 2, the duties of the Attorney General. The Attorney General shall investigate alleged violations of the election code and prosecute offenders before the Judicial Council. And his only two charges were both dropped because they weren't submitted in good time, in good faith. So I just feel like if he had known the SAS extensively as he thinks he does, then this shouldn't have been a problem, and the election code should have gone to, in hand, sort of, to me, because it didn't go through, it kind of showed that he wasn't aware of the duties of the SAS, and that he just wasn't able to do his job correctly in the SAS session. And I don't think just because he had a position last session means that makes him most qualified for this session.
Yeah, and just a reminder for the body, right now we are discussing the upcoming term and how they will serve during that term and if they can meet the obligations Of the upcoming term, we are not discussing whether or not they were the most qualified last year. We are discussing whether or not they are the most qualified for this term. So with that, we'll move into a question from Senator Watt.
So just to give some insight, I know that Senator Harvey also can attest to this, but we both got to know his intern really well through being in the executive internship. And I think that knowing Brandon's experience with Omar and what Omar had to teach him and how much the intern learned really shows how well he was able to mentor his intern, which shows extensively what he knew already going into it, and that was just his first term in the position. So for him to give so much insight to an intern about his position, about the SAS, about ASUN as a whole, and for that intern to go and know so much about ASUN, I think that shows a lot to what he has to offer for this next upcoming term.
Senator DeHall.
And I also would like to just comment more on the election code for this year. I think that with his past experience of his first election not too long ago, a few weeks ago, he has a lot of good goals for this upcoming election, proving his understanding of all of his duties towards the election code and the staff in general.
Senator Harvey.
As an addition to what Speaker Hughes kind of mentioned, I think looking forward, when asked about each of the different duties that, and there are many of them, that are outlined in the SAS for this position, I think he was able to answer each of the questions very thoroughly. And although, as Senator Supple mentioned, there was that one blip with the elections, with the elections code this year, he did mention that as he was coming in, obviously he had no experience with the elections, and it wasn't until the end of his term that he really got that experience. And I think now that he has had that experience and he knows what his mistake was and what the problem was with the within the elections code, I think he will definitely be able to in the future correct that mistake and furthermore be able to fulfill all of the rest of the duties perfectly fine.
Senator Westerman.
I want to preface this by saying that I do think it's important that we're looking forward instead of backwards, especially in regards to this appointment today. However, I am concerned with some of his answers to his questions, specifically pursuant to the questions about the changes to the staff and positioning, specifically because when asked later, he didn't mention the change to the staff and positioning. He was solely focusing on elections. So I just think that he is to be appointed. We have to hold him to making those changes to the staff that he mentioned. Additionally, I think that pursuant to SAS Chapter 205, Section 2, Subsections A through C, regarding advising the senators and ASUN officers, I am a little concerned with that answer as well, and his ability to follow through with that advising. He didn't get very clear examples. He just kind of said that he would feel it out pretty much over the next term, but that's not to say that he's incapable of doing that. It would just be another thing that
you
have to
help
Senator
Beltre. I would just like to respectfully disagree with Senator Supple and agree with Senator Harvey. I think that he still has knowledge. I think that there might have been mistakes, but he admits to working towards fixing. And I don't know which senator presented the idea, but someone had presented the idea of working with multiple committees. Or presenting to multiple people, and he took that into consideration and was able to grow up that's
a lot. Senator Prempe?
To go off what he said, no ASUN officer has a perfect term. He did own up to his mistakes, and I think this time around it's easier to hold him accountable because he has been through it and he has seen everything. So I just want to put that out there.
Awesome. Senator Ahmed and then Senator Yang.
Personally, there aren't people who didn't want to run because of the cost of elections. I really like that he was looking at
to making that more affordable and inclusive for everyone.
Senator Yang?
I would like to highlight the statement more made about wanting to really improve voter turnout, and he sees spots for improvement from the previous election and working more side to side with the director of elections. And I think this is really important because it will reflect a better representation for the students with
them. Awesome. Any further discussion? All right, with that said, we'll move into a vote. All in favor of approving the nomination of Omar Moore to the Office of Attorney General, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Would you like to state why for the record?
I do agree.
You do that.
Oh.
State, like,
no.
No, just tell me who.
Who said it? Okay.
Yeah.
Senator Rogers, Senator Doyle, and Senator Stubble. And do I happen to state why?
Yeah, I just didn't know.
Senator Rogers, will you state why for the record, please?
I do agree that it's important not to look on the past, but I do think we would be a little negligent to not realize that multiple past transgressions do make a habit and they do create consistency, and so I do agree that we need to hold him accountable if he does get elected, very strictly accountable,
okay.
I might add.
Thank you. Senator Doyle?
As a senator, I believe that we should be vetting these nominees based on the SAS, and I don't believe that he fulfills those duties for them.
Senator Stubble?
I think it's important to look at what he did last session, because that's kind of a reflection of how, not only how he's going to change this session, but how he could possibly work this session. So I do think that keeping him strongly accountable for his actions as pertaining to the SAS is really important. And
thank you. All right, with that, are any abstentions? Sorry. All right, seeing that the nominee is approved. For the Chair of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. So at this time, I will be accepting nominations from the floor for the Special Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. Nominations do not need a second, and self-nominations are welcome. Senator Doyle.
I nominate the Honorable Senator Commandery.
Senator Commandery, do you accept?
Aye.
All right, any further nominations at this time? Senator Yang.
I nominate the Honorable Senator Banford to the Chair of the
Senator Banford, do you accept the nomination?
I accept.
All right. Are there any further nominations at this time? All right. Seeing none. Senator Commandery from the College of Community Health Sciences. Senator Commandery from the College of Health Sciences and Senator Banford from the College of Engineering. So we'll just do this how we did it at the last meeting. If you want to step out, Senator Commandery, we'll start with you. And once again, you have 3 minutes to present.
Hello, Seth.
Senators, my name is Vanessa Comandari, and I would be honored to serve this session as chair for the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. This past session, I had the pleasure of being able to work under the previous speaker, Anthony Martinez, where I learned about agendizing, writing legislation, and most importantly, how to implement my goals here at the university. After meeting with chairs Prempe and Westerman, as well as one of the previous chairs of my college, Vanessa Amaya, as well as Speaker Hughes, Speaker Pro Tempore Murphy, and Director of Sustainability, I have gained incredible insight and inspiration for my goals. Increasing the hours of the Student Health Center has always been a goal of mine, even before running for Senate. Speaker Pro Tempore Murphy and I co-acted to make practice legislation on this topic in our internship, and I plan to further expand this idea into the real thing. As Senator Romero brought to my attention, we need to start by educating students on what the Health Center does. Thus, I plan to work with Senator Romero as well as the Director of Wellness to create more awareness across the campus about what kind of services the Health Center offers, from counseling to free HIV and STI testing. In hopes of encouraging students to utilize this resource, I intend to work with the Student Health Center to discuss how to expand their hours. Additionally, I plan to collaborate with Senators Prempe and Donahue to meet with the Resident District Manager for Food and Dining Services to discuss how to improve the new dining plan being implemented within this university. Through the addition of healthier options for our incoming freshmen, we can create a healthier campus for future generations to come. As for safety, with the help of Senator Rogers and taking part in the campus walkthrough, I hope to create a future campus with more blue lights around the university. If a student is standing at a blue light, the next blue light needs to be within eyesight, which is why I hope to get in contact with Student Services to work towards implementing more blue lights around campus and more specifically the departments. As a senator for the College of Community Health Sciences, safety and wellness are held close to my heart. However, I was able to gain a lot of insight on sustainability projects to further implement to better this university. As I discussed with Senator Romero, before we can create a more sustainable campus, we need to start by educating students on what sustainability actually is. This is why I plan to partner with Sierra Jiggly and programming to not only implement recycling signs to educate students on what is and what is not recyclable, but also create awareness across campus through tabling events. In addition to increasing recycling across the campus, Denver Yang brought to my attention that a lot of our food is being wasted here on campus. So if we implement composting bins across campus, we can team up with local nonprofits to work on a composting system for the university. I plan to work with Denver Yang as well as Nice Camp Nevada to create a university that utilizes all waste to better our environment. Additionally, I plan to further implement the unfinished project started by Sierra Jiggling of creating a waste-free lending library to prevent events like having a campus barbecue from using too much plastic waste, to being able to check out silverware from collaborating with the Down Under Cafe. As each aspect of this committee ties closely into one another, I really hope to bring more attention to the resources for each sector of this committee to help students create and be a part of a healthier, more sustainable, and safer campus. Thank you.
All right. We'll now open up to questions from the body. Senator Supple.
How do you plan on implementing No Walls 2025 with the chair?
No Walls 2025 has a lot to do with education. And as I mentioned multiple times, like within my speech, I really want to educate students a lot on sustainability because a lot of students don't really know, like, what is and what is not recyclable, and what composting even is. So if we can begin by educating them, that will cause students to use resources within our campus further. Additionally, educating students about what the Health Center does will also cause students to utilize that resource more and possibly get the hours extended further.
Senator Harvey.
How will you ensure that your committee members are also reaching not just the goals that you've set forth, but the goals that they have for this committee as well?
But to begin, just asking students to participate in discussion on these topics, it's really important to gain insight from all senators about what they want to see change within this committee. As senators, as this is a special committee, we as senators are going to be the ones that decide whether the committee gets established or not. So I really want students to just communicate in discussion about what they want to see from this committee to see if it's feasible to make this committee happen or not.
Senator Westerman.
How do you plan on working specifically with the new chairs of sustainability and wellness to collaborate and be on the same page for having all the same goals and plans that you want to implement?
Of course. I've already talked with Sierra Jiggling, and I understand that she wants a lot of her old projects to be worked on further in this committee. So when we knew director for sustainability, is it going to be plan on meeting with them to discuss those goals this year, that we left for future senators and future directors to work on? As for the director of wellness, I really want to work with him as well as the health center, as they're both co-acting together to make a better offer on our campus. So I plan on talking to them and collaborating with them at the same time to understand how we can expand the health center hours, and if not, what we can do to get students more aware about the health center, what services it offers, so students can utilize that resource.
Any further questions? Oh, Senator Harvey, I'm so sorry.
So because this is a new special committee, it's a lot of the duties and the responsibilities will be up to you kind of to decide how the infrastructure will be. So my question is, how will you ensure that the infrastructure to make sure that this committee is a long-lasting one and a productive one, how will you make sure that that infrastructure is implemented?
Yeah, of course. So like I said previously, we as senators are the ones that are going to decide if this committee becomes like an established committee or not. So I really want to get all students' ideas on what they want to see from this committee and work towards implementing their goals as well as my goals within this committee to make this committee possible. I really want to see this committee happen, and I want to see that senators vote on this committee at the end of our terms.
Any further questions? All right, with that, we'll end questioning. Will you please bring Senator Banfer into the room?
Safety, sustainability, and wellness, all of which are important to both me and the university. In fact, I chose my major solely because I'm passionate about them and excited to use them in changing campus culture. They're intricately connected, as shown in the diagram on the handout. After speaking to former committee chairs, I've decided the committee's legislative goals will be determined by its members, as the group better represents the students than just me alone. Furthermore, legislation surrounding wellness and safety will be based in proactive measures, while legislation surrounding sustainability will be focused on growing eco-friendly practices on campus. My goals for the committee, however, are divided into three subcategories: my main goal, my single-term goals, and my long-term goals, which all contribute to immediate concerns as well as the bigger picture. My main goal as chair is to facilitate discussion on matters important to students and connect safety, sustainability, and wellness departments on campus to find where they overlap and can share jurisdiction. After speaking with Associate Vice President of Student Life Services, Jerry Marzinski, Director of Sustainability, Sierra Jacobs, and Commander of UNRPD, Eric James, I've compiled a list of goals that are ambitious yet attainable. My short-term goals are only designed to get the committee on the right track, but are still beneficial campus-wide. My long-term goals are projects designed to start in 87th and continue into the following Senate sessions. I understand the chair of this committee will largely define its importance on campus, and as chair, I promise this will not be an easy committee to sit on. SSW is looking for a chair willing to put in the time, effort, passion, and devotion it needs, but I'm looking to hold its members to the same standard. The Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness needs to be dynamic, with its members prepared to switch gears quickly if need be. After sitting in multiple meetings with former and current ASUN officials and campus departments, I've seen how keeping communications open is critical to building change. Though I initially met with them to prepare for this presentation, I now see how important it is to continue meeting with them to gain understanding of their departments and concerns. SSW functions best with both student and faculty feedback, meaning creative, quality outreach hours are necessary. I want senators sitting on SSW to be educated, meaning I'll be asking them to experience correlating department services firsthand and reporting on them. Because SSW is so deeply rooted in campus life, it'll demand time and energy from both me and the senators on the committee. I want this committee to be ambitious and motivated to facilitate the change students see on campus. As committee chair, I want our goals to come to fruition and lead to our success as a committee. Whether or not SSW is voted in as a standing committee at the end of the session, its responsibility for the coming year is massive. I hope to lead the committee in assuming that responsibility and taking its place on campus.
Awesome. We'll now open up to questions. Senator Westerman.
How do you plan on working with the next director of
sustainability as the director of, well, to not only be on the same page with those goals, but to create more infrastructure for the city in the future.
So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to have a discussion with the director of wellness, but in my discussion with the director of sustainability, Sierra Jingling, we talked a lot about shifting campus culture toward students using sustainable practices, so and more education based on that. But I would really like to work with both of them and have them work with each other so that we can have a good standing backbone with to the committee. And they can have the resources available to work with us as we can work with them.
Senator Supple.
How do you plan on implementing No Walls 2025?
I'm not completely familiar with the No Walls 2025 initiative. I think that's one of the only things that I didn't really get to learn about in all of the meetings that I had in the past week. With that said, though, I really would like to learn more about it and really take that and implement it into the committee as best as we can. I would also really like to take ideas from the people on the committee to see how we can do that, and I'm really looking to the people who sit on the committee to help in creating ideas for that.
Any further questions? Senator Harvey?
Okay, how will you create the infrastructure to ensure that this committee will be able to be long-lasting and become a standing committee, but also to make sure that it is a productive committee when it comes to your committee members?
So, I think that the end goal isn't necessarily to make this committee become a standing committee. Of course, that's what we would want to see happen, but if it doesn't pan out, then it doesn't pan out. But in the meantime, I think that this committee is really focused mostly on using legislation to shift campus culture toward more safe and sustainable and healthy practices. So whether that be more streamlined reporting methods to UNRPD and their sexual assault victims advocate. I know that they're working right now on text reporting, and they're working through the kinks on that. On the sustainability and wellness end, I would really like to see us compile a list of what we've already done on the sustainability end, and then take that, acknowledge it, and see what more we can grow from, because I know that the campus has been, we don't discuss it, but we're a very sustainable campus as is. A lot of our buildings are LEED certified, and we've been discussing composting initiatives for several years now. So I think that acknowledging what we already have and then taking that and seeing where we can grow from it and where we can move forward is how we really build the infrastructure to that. On the health side, I think that taking student feedback with how they view student health organizations, whether that be the health center, counseling services, anything under that umbrella, taking their feedback and seeing where their problems lie with any of those organizations, and really putting that in the right direction to move forward to really use those facilities to help students.
Senator Westerman.
I really appreciate that you have been sexual assault under this committee, and I'm curious how you would plan on potentially collaborating with other committees such as university affairs or potentially public affairs to accomplish some of your goals in that place.
So, working with other committees on sexual assault, I think that it would benefit all three committees to be open with each other. And I know that sexual assault is one of the four priorities that we've outlined for this session. And I know that that's really important to you. So I would really like to see our committee take that under, take some of that legislation that's at the Nevada legislature, and also write resolutions here on campus to see where our problems lie and what we can do to fix them, and then also how we can support on the higher level of the state of Nevada and the city of Reno as well.
Senator Yang.
I really appreciate your diagram. How do you, can you elaborate more on how you plan on this diagram to translate it as chair?
So, at first glance, it doesn't really look like these three things correlate with one another, safety, sustainability, fairness, but when you really get down to learning what each one of those things is about and what campus facilities do, they all kind of overlap in different ways. And so sustainable practices usually are more healthy practices and vice versa. And then more people who are more safe, they use less resources. Sustainable people use less resources, which leads to a safer environment and a healthier lifestyle. I would really like to take the time to elaborate more on this diagram and really take the time to list out the facilities on campus, what they do, and how they can translate over to other aspects of this committee.
Senator Supple.
Senator Speed, she talked about eco-friendly practices being used by the committee and expanding that to the university. Can you expand on that?
So I think that that is a lot. That's very education-based. So the legislation that we would be writing for sustainability will be towards growing the eco-friendly practices on campus. So I know that most places on campus sell the reusable straws and reusable utensils. I'd like to see that be more promoted around campus. That is a shift in culture type of thing where you really have to convince people to take that into their routine and to really implement that in themselves. And I think that that's going to be a lot of the sustainable practices where we have to educate people on proper recycling practices, proper composting practices when we get there, how they can really reduce their consumption of energy tools, water, any type of resources on campus. I think that that is a lot of education based on how we can shift that culture to more sustainable people, which will in turn build a more sustainable campus.
Any further questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move into a discussion.
Thank you.
All right, so now we'll now be discussing both nominees for the position, starting with the first hand. Senator Harvey.
In regards to Senator Banford's presentation, I think she had some really, really great ideas. However, I think that when discussing those ideas, they seemed a little underdeveloped. I'm not sure if it's because they were underdeveloped or she just didn't have the time frame to explain them all, but that was one of my concerns. And when I asked her my question on making sure that this committee could potentially be transferred to a standing committee, I felt that she didn't fully address my question, and it was a little bit of a convoluted statement, and I was a little concerned about the fact that that it wasn't one of her main priorities that this would be a standing committee. She did address several really good points that we should be focusing on, specifically safety, sustainability, and wellness, but in order to do that, I think it would have to be a priority that this becomes a standing committee so that we can make sure that we're still focusing on safety, sustainability, and wellness.
Senator D. Hall.
What stood out to me in Senator Commodore's presentation
conversation and her speech was outreach, and I feel like that's what she's making her main priority. And I think that with this committee being safety, sustainability, and wellness, you do need students' opinions and stuff like that. So I think through her Lori's presentation, she has the ability to grow it into something bigger where students can come to these meetings and voice their opinions.
I know what you mean, because when you asked her about the community, she's like this pan out, this pan out. But I took that more as she wants to focus on making the community as better as possible and have that be more like not just a focus, because it's not just on the community as well. She wanted to really focus on making it productive and to be focusing on that just more than
Senator Murphy?
Yeah, so I think they both really gave good presentations. However, I liked how Senator Commandery mentioned specifically how she would implement her goals, such as the people she would reach out to, and her vision on how her committee would make an impact on No Walls 2025, and how specifically she would ensure this committee becomes a standing committee with the input from all of us.
Senator Supple?
I think both of them came really well prepared today, and I think, like Senator Ahmed said, the fact that she acknowledged that even if it doesn't create a standing committee, she understands the importance of it now in her university and has come up with all these goals, short-term and long-term, that she's been up and running with. But also, Senator Commandery had a good understanding of not only the Wall Street 25, but also the importance of it being a committee, not just a special committee, but also
Senator Yang.
I appreciate the fact that both Senator Danford and Commandery reached out with many former officers and administrative faculty to gain insight of what this committee should be, but I also really appreciate the fact that Senator Commandery went an extra step in meeting with a lot of current senators, like newly elected senators, to see what they want for this committee.
Senator Westerman?
I think that both candidates here have very good goals, and I think that they would both do a good job. I especially really appreciate how Senator Banford took into account sexual assault, which is one of our legislative priorities under the umbrella of this committee. I thought that was a really smart thing to do. However, I think that the only way to determine who is more fit for this chair position since they both have very precise and very good goals on their committee would be to think of the facilitation position that these that the chair would have to be put in and who would do a better job in that sense.
Senator Harvey?
I really appreciated how Senator Banford, in one of her long-term goals, put in to adopt and support the Sustainable Nevada Initiative Fund. As Director Dickling's intern, I know that the SNIF is very, very underdeveloped, and it's a really amazing opportunity that virtually no one knows about, and so I think that it should be a very big priority of the new chair to take SNIF into account.
And please let the record show that Senator Beltre left the room at 7:49 p.m. and re-entered at 7:52 p.m. Senator Prembe?
I just wanted to point out that Senator Banford's response to Senator Harvey's question regarding the committee and if it will last, I kind of took it as a she's more concerned about the change on campus rather than just, helping the committee. I just want to point out that it's a positive that she does care about putting the work to see positive changes.
Senator D. Hall.
And in addition to Senator Harvey, I wanted to highlight one of Senator Banford's long-term goals of adopting part of the City of Reno's Sustainability Action Plan. I think that's a really great addition to this committee, and that's something I didn't think about.
All right. Senator Murphy.
Although I think it is important, Senator Banford wasn't, adamant on keeping the committee, but, making change on campus, I think that in order for this committee to have a stable infrastructure, I really think that Senator Commandery was all about that, and I think that's something to really keep into consideration.
Senator Ahmed? Senator Ahmed, did you have?
Initially, I didn't like that term. Familiar with the NOAA 2025, but like now, like reading the report again, you're kind of in line with that already. But she just didn't realize that she wants to work with the city of she wants to support the city, and she talked about the UNRPD. It was a lot of like integrating with the public and integrating and stuff.
Just for a show of hands, who all is familiar with NOAA 2025? Or who all is not familiar with NOAA 2025? Okay, just for those of you who are not, it's basically a document that drives the vision of ASUN. It's generally only discussed like in the internship process and then further on in ASUN like officers' careers. But it's basically, NOAA 2025 is basically describing that there will not be any barriers between like students and the resources that they need, the city of Reno and the university and just things like that, and like breaking down barriers. So for those of you who don't have context on that, I hope that that helps a little bit. But it is something that we thoroughly discussed in the internship process. Senator Rogers.
Going off of Senator Ahmed's comment about how she wasn't familiar with what it was, but she actually had a lot of the goals for exactly what it was. When I met with the commissioner for the city of Reno last session, they really wanted to work on a lot of the things that she has here, like the semesterly safety walk, to also work on winter conditions, because that was one of their concerns, were winter conditions in the city of Reno and on campus. And also, I really appreciate how she brings in counseling services rather than just the student health center as well. That is such a big part of sexual assault survivors, but I also really appreciated how Senator Commanduri talked a lot about how, whom, and what she would do, so how she would do it, whom she would need to speak with, and then what she would need to do to get there. So all of these are really qualified candidates.
Senator Westerman?
It does say this in Senator Commanduri's handout, but I did meet with Senator Commanduri. She reached out to me and asked me to meet not only as a chair, but as a previous senator, which I really appreciated, kind of to go over what, since I was a previous senator in the session, what I wanted to see next session, and like from the committee as a whole, like as a committee, not just as goals for them to do regarding the initiative like NOAA 2020 and all that, and the future of the committee. I think that both, I've said this before, I'm just saying, both of them have great goals, and both of them will do great things. However, I think that if we're looking at as a chair, I think that Senator Commanduri is more equipped to handle, like, mitigate conversations and deliberate in the sense that the chair is required to, and I think that Senator Ranford would collaborate very well with Senator Commanduri as a vice chair.
Senator Supple?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think Senator Ranford's goals can go into the committee without her being a chair, but I think the leadership that Senator Commanduri has is really important to this subcommittee.
All right, any further conversation? Any discussion? All right. With that said, we'll move into a vote. We'll do a roll call vote. So when the ledge clerk says your name, just say the last name of the individual in which you are voting for.
Senator Ahmed.
Yes.
Senator Ampier.
Commanduri.
Senator D. Hall.
Commanduri.
Senator Davenport.
Commanduri.
Senator Doyle.
Commanduri.
Senator Harvey.
Banford.
Senator J. Hall.
Commanduri.
Senator Meltor.
Commanduri.
Senator Murphy.
Commanduri.
Senator Prempe.
Commanduri.
Senator Rogers.
Commanduri.
Senator Romero.
Commanduri.
Senator Supple.
Commanduri.
Senator Veltri.
Hesitate.
Oh, can you state why for the record, please?
I have said that as a
Senator Watt?
Commanduri.
Senator Westerman?
Commanduri.
And Senator Yang?
Commanduri.
Okay. Senator Commanduri. Missouri won with 14 votes, and Senator Bamford with 8 votes.
Do we have votes for them?
No? Okay. Senator Commandery from the College of Community Health Sciences has received the majority of the vote. So, congratulations. All right. So, this is obviously getting to be a long meeting, so I'm sorry, guys. We have two pieces.
To do a motion to approve.
Oh. All right. Well, now, I'm now seeking a motion, or, yeah? I'm now seeking a motion to approve the nomination of Senator Commandery to the office of chair for the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. Senator Westerman?
I move to approve Senator Commandery for the position of chair, the appointment of chair on the Committee on Sustainability, Safety, and Wellness.
Is there a second? Senator Melcher?
Second.
All right. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All in favor of approving the appointment of Senator Commandery, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? All right. Will you say why for the record?
Because I didn't hear it.
All right. Perfect. So with that said, congratulations. I know that this is becoming a long meeting, so please hang in there. We have two pieces of legislation left to review, and then we're done. It's super important that everybody stays involved in the conversation. So with that, we'll move into the first reading of legislation, Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of Senate Bill 254, and Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142, abolishing statute of limitations for sexual assault cases with DNA evidence. Moving into Agenda Item 16, motion to fast-track legislation, I'm seeking a motion to fast-track Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of SB 254. Senator Westerman?
I move to fast-track Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of SB 254.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing no dissent, the motion passes. I am now seeking a motion to fast-track Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142, abolishing statute of limitations for sexual assault cases with DNA evidence. Senator Harvey?
I move to fast-track Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142, abolishing statute of limitations for sexual assault cases with DNA evidence, through unanimous consent.
Yes. Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing no dissent, the motion passes. We'll now move into Agenda Item 18, second reading of legislation, Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of 254. I am seeking a motion to approve Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of SB 254. Senator Supple.
I move to approve Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of SB 254.
Is there a second? Senator Yang.
Second.
All right. With that said, we'll now move into a presentation from the author. Whoever wants to present.
All right, so I wrote this piece of legislation with the help of Senator Yang and Westerman. It was on the list of the pieces of legislation at the Nevada State Legislature. So if you just look at the first clause, it just kind of describes what it is. It's an act relating to greenhouse gas emissions requiring the State Department of the Conservation and Natural Resources to issue an annual report concerning greenhouse gas emissions in the state. Okay, so basically what this means was how the state of Nevada is now, every 4 years there's a report given to the State Department on Conservation and Natural Resources pertaining to carbon emissions produced by the state of Nevada. So this resolution, or this Senate bill, basically just states they want an annual report of carbon emissions coming from the state of Nevada and ways to reduce those carbon emissions to zero or close to zero by 2050. And I just think that would be more beneficial to the students, considering it was one of our legislative priorities, sustainability. Is there any question? Or if you wanted to add?
I think so.
Okay. There's a slight amendment that needs to be made. So I'll give some context on that, too. So as Senate Bill 254 has already passed, was amended by the Senate Committee on Growth and Infrastructure, So the amendment I'm going to make is just referring it to a different Senate committee on finance at the Nevada State Legislature. So I move to amend Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of Senate Bill 254, page 4, line items 3 through 4, to read, be it resolved, this resolution be sent to the Senate Committee on Finance. Senate Majority Leader Nicole Canizero, sorry if I mispronounced that, Assembly Committee on Growth and Infrastructure, and Assembly Committee on Ways and Means, and Speaker of the Assembly, Jason Frierson, through unanimous consent.
Is there any, is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the amendment passes. We'll now move back into discussion on the resolution. Okay, yeah. So we'll now open it up to questions from the body and discussion. Senator Supple.
You said that because of the legislative priority, important to students. What specifically about carbon emissions is affecting students?
So, carbon emissions obviously lead to global warming, which increases the intensity of wildfires, and that affects lots of students in the state of Nevada and California, and that is something that is included in this resolution in support of the bill.
Any further questions or discussion? Senator Harvey.
This is just a question about it. Has there been opposition at the Nevada State Legislature to this bill, and if so, do you know what the opposition was about?
Oh, has there been any opposition?
Yeah. Yes, to the bill in the state legislature.
Senator Westerman.
The only opposition that I've ever been questioned is that it does require a little bit more effort and attention and having to take that account in measuring the carbon emissions, which obviously like people have to do and get paid for and stuff like that, but it is attainable and it's more beneficial than it is prejudicial.
Any further questions? Senator Murphy.
I also want to state that I reached out to Director Worrell, Director of Legislative Affairs, who said this bill was would carry a lot of weight into the Assembly. And she also wanted me to remind everyone that this is how we get to have our student voices be heard at the state legislature, is by providing legislation. So I just want everyone to take that into account as well.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Seeing no further discussion, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of approving Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of SB 254, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions?
Four.
Would you like to say, Senator Doyle and Senator D. Hall, will you please state why for the record?
I was out of the room.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm now seeking a motion to approve Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142, abolishing statute of limitations for sexual assault cases with DNA evidence. Senator Harvey.
I move to approve the Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142, abolishing statute of limitations for sexual assault cases with DNA evidence.
Is there a second? Senator J. Hall?
Okay.
All right, we'll now move into a presentation from the author when she's done passing everything out. It, but you can't amend it through unanimous consent or else you can't discuss the amendment.
Okay. So I move to amend Senate Resolution 87,
a resolution in support of AB 132 abolishing statute of limitations for sexual assault cases with DNA evidence in substitution.
Is there a second? Senator Harvey.
Second.
Perfect. Now we'll move into a discussion on the amendment.
Amendment to substitution is taken to clerical lawyers. First off is the title, because it originally said sent to the Committee on Public Affairs and it was fast tracked, so it's just sent to the event table. It's fixing clerical lawyers on page 2, line numbers 2, 4, and 8. In addition to line number 16 for clerical errors, and then line numbers 10 through 13, changing that whole clause to make it a little more beneficial for this overall resolution, as the previous one was more prejudicial and prohibitive.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All of those in favor of amending Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142 through substitution, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? All right, seeing that, the amendment passes, and we'll move back into discussion on the legislation at hand.
I actually have another amendment that I have to make, because just like the previous piece of legislation, I also received news from Director Rolla today. This piece of legislation, AB 142, passed in the Assembly, so it has to be sent to a different group. So I move to amend page 3, line number 11, to say, be it further resolved, this resolution be sent to Senate Committee on Judiciary, Senate Majority Leader Nicole Buchanan-Mazzaro, Governor Steve Sisolak.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing no dissent, the amendment. Seeing none, the amendment passes. We'll now move back into discussion on the legislation.
Okay. So, now finally getting the presentation. AB 142 inherently is abolishing the statute of limitations for sexual assault cases, provides DNA evidence. DNA evidence meaning rape kits. This basically, in sexual assault cases in general, there's being a strive to get rape kits done for every single sexual assault case. From now on, the number of rape kits is just rapidly increasing, and abolishing the statute of limitations for cases with DNA evidence would make it so if someone were to get a rape kit done and then years down the line decided that it was rape their sense of their life and that they did want to report it and go through that process later in life, since that evidence is available, because there is an increase of rape kits getting done, it would give victims the ability to do that. And this would inherently affect students on campus because students on campus are encouraged to get rape kits done if they are victims of sexual assault. And this would just give them the comfort to go forward with reporting instead of feeling pressure to do it now.
Alright, are there any questions on the legislation? Any discussion? Senator Doyle?
I believe that this resolution is very beneficial, especially because there's a stat that says it's been reported by 72%. This isn't interesting, the legislation, though. It's been reported that 72% of jurors anticipate seeing DNA in a sexual assault trial, and that juries are 33 times more likely to convict when presented with DNA evidence. So through this, it's more likely that sexual assault cases will go through prosecution, and it will eliminate that 4-year statute of limitation, which would overall be beneficial for the system of
Senator Murphy.
Through the speaker to Senator Westerman. I'm kind of confused. So is the statute of limitations just saying if we abolish this, then you can report your rape like so many years into the future? As of now, it's like there's a certain timeline, and if you don't report it, then like the case is thrown out.
Correct. Oh, sorry.
Senator Westerman.
Yeah, so as of right now, in the state of Nevada, after a certain number of years, it's dependent on your case specifically, but after a certain number of years since the occurrence, even with DNA evidence, you can report and go through that trial process and prosecution. This AB 142 would basically say that there is an exception to the statute of limitations if DNA evidence is provided. A number of states have already done this. It just makes it so that if there is evidence, if there is proof, then the statute of limitations doesn't apply, and you can, it doesn't matter the number of years after, you can always file a report.
Senator Murphy?
Just a follow-up question. So do the states have all of this DNA evidence, such as, like, rape kits then? Well, like, do they hold them until the case is, like, processed?
Yeah, so...
Senator Westerman.
In the state of Nevada, there is a like giant bank of like huge building where they store all the rape kits, and there's been a lot of movement to get another lab, to get more, to expand that, because the goal like is to eventually have every single victim have kids done. It's like a drive that a lot of states are trying to do because it's easier to prosecute. Like Senator Doyle said with the statistics, it's much easier to try if there's evidence as opposed to just a word of mouth. So yeah, there is a bank where they're all kept, and I believe as of right now they're kept without being tested, so you can just have it done and just have it stored. Stored there without even being touched for at least 25 years.
Any further discussion? All right, seeing no further discussion, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of approving Senate Resolution 87, a resolution in support of AB 142, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, with that, the resolution passes. And we just passed two pieces of legislation in our second meeting. That's super awesome, guys. So give yourselves a round of applause. All right, so we'll now move into agenda item 19, miscellaneous business, Senator reports. And since we are just starting, I just wanted to discuss the project tracker that I talked about in my when I was running for speaker. So currently I have Senator Doyle working on SB 9. And in the future I'll bring this up on a projector so everybody can see this. And it's located on the ballot box if you want to look at what I'm referencing. But I wanted to do it a little bit faster this time since it was a very lengthy meeting. So I have Senate Resolution, or Senate Bill 9 that Senator Doyle is working on, and that is completed. I have SB 178 by Senator Donahue, and that's in progress. AJR 2 from Senator Supple, and that has been completed and will be on the agenda for next week. SB 254, that's Murphy, Westerman, and Yang, that was just completed. AB 142 from Westerman, which was just completed. AB 60 from Senator Prempe, how is that legislation going? Senator Prempe. Awesome. Feel free to reach out to me or Senator Westerman, as she is the chair of public affairs, if you need any help on that. I have AB 227 with Senator Beltre. How's that going?
It's in progress. We're just getting together on how the writing legislation process goes.
Perfect. And I'm meeting with you tomorrow, correct? Okay, awesome. Then we have SBR 1 with Senator Romero. Are you still working on that?
Yeah. Researching.
Okay. SB 194 with Senator Supple. Are you still working on that resolution?
Yeah, I'm researching as well.
Perfect. And then Senator Westerman, AB 176. How's that going, Senator Westerman?
Doing some research.
Okay. AB 155, Senator Ahmed. I know that this complements a resolution that you wrote in the 86th session. How is that going?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Honestly, I have to get in touch with the one from the Senate, one from the Assembly, and they're both towards the same goal, but they're taking different approaches as it has to be. That's kind of good.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what Director Worrell discusses. Also, Assistant Director, I believe, or Policy Director, Policy Analyst, Joko, he'd also be a really great contact for that. Okay, AB 216, Senator Westerman.
Okay. I am looking for someone to co-sponsor this piece of legislation with me because the way that it's written is there's two parts.
to it, and they're like kind of the same because like one has to do with the other, but they're not really the same at all, like, research-wise. So it's a lot of work because I have to do all this research for one and then like completely separate research for the other half. And so I was wondering if there's anyone who's particularly passionate about like scholarships or like domestic violence or anything like that that wants to help me because it's really complicated.
And I would really encourage somebody who potentially isn't working on resolution right now, Senator Melcher, Senator Watt. Did you get all those?
Yeah, I'll send you guys an email.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you. And then lastly, I have, well, not lastly, AB 219 with Senator Harvey.
I have not yet started on this because I, as with Senator Veltri, I'm still kind of getting the hang of writing legislation, but I will be starting this within the next week or two.
Okay, are you free tomorrow at 11:30? We can talk after, but I'm meeting with Senator Veltri at that time, so if anybody else would like to join in, we'll be having like a mini session on writing legislation, so I welcome anybody to come to that. And then SB 9 with Senator Doyle, that is completed. I think I have that twice, so we're good. And then faculty awards agreement. Currently, Senator Collins and I are working on some legislation to draft up an agreement between the Office of the Provost and ASUN. So basically be giving two faculty awards at Honor the Best, which is an honorary banquet for faculty and administration on campus. And this would be for two different awards, one for professors and like lecturers and faculty or whatever that try to decrease the cost of course material on within their classes, and then the second one is to recognize professors and faculty who are trying to integrate service learning into their curriculum. So I have a meeting on the 30th with Provost Carmen to discuss that agreement, and I'll be drafted up prior to that. Senator Westerman.
Regarding like getting the hang of how to write legislation, at the public committee on public affairs meeting on Friday at 1:30, myself and Senator Ahmed are going to be giving a presentation on how to write legislation specific for like this type of legislation. So if anyone wants to come to that, it's free. You're more than welcome to come, even if you're not on the committee.
Perfect. Yeah, so I strongly encourage any of you to go to that, and then additionally, we'll just be right there at 11:30 tomorrow working on legislation. So are there any further Senate reports at this time? Senator Supple?
I just want to share that you guys should all start going to events, even if it's like beyond your office hours, because the conversation of Senator is so important, and the visibility of us on the Senate and the visibility of ASUN as a whole is really important, not only for your business, but for yourself as a Senator as well. It's kind of like a learning experience, and you're going to really dive into your university. I think it's really important in our positions and as students to get involved.
All right. Any further Senate reports?
Point of information.
Yes.
Should we put people on the Committee of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness?
No, we will do that right now.
Yeah.
Any further Senate reports? Okay, so we'll now move into Agenda Item 19B, Senate Committee Changes. We'll first be placing individuals on the Committee for Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. To do that, say I move to place myself on the Committee for Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness through unanimous consent. So anybody who would like to sit on that committee, just keep your hand up and I will call on you. Senator Harvey.
I move to place myself, Senator Harvey, on the Committee for Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness through unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, she will be put on the committee. Senator Banford.
I move to place myself on the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness through unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senator Melcher. I move to place myself on the Committee for Safety, Sustainability, Wellness. Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senator J. Hall. Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senator Davenport?
I move to place myself on the Committee of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness to unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senator Romero?
I move to place myself on the Committee of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness to
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senator Yang.
I move to place myself in the Committee of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness to unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. All right, are there any further committee changes that need to be made at this time? Senator Rogers.
Point of information, what times are the Government Affairs Committee times these next 2 weeks?
Senator Stubble.
Yes.
Friday is going to be 8 a.m., but for next week and the week after, it's going to be Thursdays 3 to 4. And I can email you that.
Thank you.
Any further Senator committee changes? Awesome. Moving into agenda item 20, comments and announcements. Are there any comments or announcements at this time? Senator Harvey.
So I've been working with Denise Mena from Take Back the Pack and on legislation that pertains specifically to sexual assault on the university level. So if anyone is interested in taking part in writing some of that legislation, please email me. They have just brilliant, amazing, perfectly organized, it's the most beautiful thing ever, action plan. It's all coordinated with different topics concerning sexual assault at the university and different legislative ideas for that, and all they really need is senators to sponsor those bills or those resolutions. So please email me if you are even remotely interested in taking part on that, because there are a lot of there is a lot of legislation that they want to get passed and that I'm very, very supportive of. So yes, thank you.
Any further comments or announcements? Senator Supple.
I would also like to add that I'm also meeting with Take Back the Pack and so is Senator Westerman. So if anyone also needs a link to that, you can always email me too.
All right. Senator Westerman.
We'll send out emails, but please consult a previous senator before you agree to write legislation on this. And it is kind of a tricky topic when it concerns NG, so please ask someone who has experience with that level, because you might end up working on piece of legislation and writing it and bringing it to the table and then realizing that you wrote legislation on something that really can't be changed. So just ask questions and be intuitive.
Yeah, just touching on that, I actually had a meeting with the prior President Jackson, that's sad, and President Johnson and Dr. Shannon Ellis last week, and we discussed this because I have sat down with Denise as well, who's the person who's initiating this, and we discussed a lot of the changes, and so I have a lot of feedback from an administrative level, especially because a lot of the things there are barriers with the Nevada revised statutes, and then I also have some feedback on the upper the highest administrative level on it. So if you guys want more feedback when you're doing that, I can provide some of that or ask them in our next meeting. Perfect. Moving into agenda item 21, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, I'll move into agenda item 22, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 8:27 p.m.